What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it is Friday the 5th of December, year of our Lord, 2025. I had a little bit of technical issues there. I was about to say, is it on? Thank you for your kind attention as Trump ends his tweets out there. But I think we got some things that you're going to want to pay attention to. Big news in the areas of automobiles, as well as we have the guy who gave the order for the follow-up strike to murder the shipwrecked people in the water. That admiral spoke to Congress yesterday. And now we have the bipartisan expressions of concern about this stuff have now melted away. Now we're back to partisanship. So I'm going to tell you what's happening with that. And some amazing... We're coming up to a very important anniversary when it comes to COVID. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Well, I'm going to begin with the car information because we're going to start with the way the government controls the way we're moving. And, of course, the rug pull and the rope-a-dope that the electric vehicles were all about has now been exposed in the UK as they're increasing taxes on EVs after they got people to buy them. But it's more than about that. It really is. And then there is some important news about Flock. Actually, there was a court case in Washington State that got Flock shut down in a couple of cities. So we're going to talk about that. That's very important. Trump has ordered approval for the mini K-cars, or Kai-cars. I don't know how they are. K-E-I cars out of Japan. Now, these are small cars. They're going to have a limited appeal because Americans just don't like small cars. However, you should be able to buy any kind of car that you like. And so what is being done about this? This is not what we were talking about in terms of, well, we've talked about this many times, Eric Peters and I, but this is not what we're talking about in terms of Trump's statements on CAFE standards. He's going to relax those back after Biden really put pedal to the metal on banning all internal combustion engine cars. That's what that's really about. That's why they keep ramping it up to impossible levels. Levels that they'll just have to stop making them. And so he has kept all the mechanisms in place. He hasn't taken away the power from the EPA. But he has told the Department of Transportation now in the case of these Kei cars, I guess. Well, is that how you pronounce them? K-E-I, I guess? Kei cars.
it's beyond my Japanese knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, he has told the Department of Transportation Secretary to authorize production. And Eric Peters has weighed in on this. I'll tell you what Eric Peters says about this. But it is there's two wars on cars. One of them is, of course, the safety standards and mandates that have been adding weight and inefficiency to the car in terms of fuel, and especially cost. And so there's that. And then there's the war that the EPA conducts, which is to say that CO2 is pollution, and it's not. The EPA was created by Richard Nixon, supposedly to come after pollution, but then its mission became coming after cars themselves, to try to regulate CO2, which is not a poison. It is necessary. It is a product of life, and it is necessary to life. The way God designed things, animals exhale CO2, and plants need it. They don't inhale it, but they process it. And so it is a symbiotic relationship by design, and the government wants to change all of that, pretend that that's not happening. So Trump said he was intrigued by the tiny cars that he saw in Japan. Of course, this is part of this is in the game that he's playing with tariffs. This is a carrot that he's holding out to the Japanese, but it's to allow them to be produced in the U.S. I don't know really what that does. He says they're very small, they're really cute. How would that do in this country? Well, we'll know when he starts, when they change the beast over to one of these things. I don't see Trump giving up any of his limousines for this or any of his private jets or anything.
I'm just imagining like a clown car, them loading 6 to 8 burly Secret Service agents in there and they just come all popping out.
Yeah, it'd be like when they all piled on to Reagan after he was shot that time.
You'd have the beast in the varmint.
So he's going to also says he's going to loosen the Biden era fuel efficiency rules. I think we call that the Biden error. E-R-R-O-R. We're going to approve those cars. He said, I've instructed Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy to authorize production. Kei cars are hugely popular in Japan, making up about a third of new vehicle sales. In the U.S., they've developed a niche fan base through a law that allows imports of models older than 25 years, but many states restrict or ban them over safety concerns about their size and speed among large American trucks and SUVs. Well, again, somebody who drives a Miata, who cares? I've passed that point a long time ago.
Listen to your brother. That car's going to get stuck in my grill. I ain't even going to see it.
That's right. You do feel like that when you look back in the rearview mirror and you see how big the pickup trucks have gotten. It's crazy. Just the top of the grill.
My favorite thing is that they all now come equipped with those ultra bright lights, and every mm-hmm. single one of them has been lifted, so they all shine directly through your rear window, blinding you. Mm-hmm. It's truly wonderful. It's not as bad here, but in Texas, 50% of the people are driving lifted trucks, and none of them take them off road. That's my biggest complaint. All drive lifted, and none of them take them off-road. They will slow to an absolute crawl for a speed bump in a parking lot. And you're like, what's the point? What's the point of this? What did you do this for?
Well, he's going to authorize production. So, I mean, what is the Department of Transportation going to get into the business? Are they going to put something through like the CHIPS Act? Are they going to have the CARS Act or something like that? Will they move from prohibition to subsidy, or will they just leave us alone? That's the key thing. Duffy said his agency has now cleared the deck for automakers like Toyota to sell smaller, more efficient models in the U.S. Toyota declined to comment. And, of course, that is really the crux of the issue. You can make the car, as Eric Peters points out, you can make the cars. You've been able to make the cars here. But it's hard to sell cars if the Department of Transportation prohibits their use on so-called public roads, which, as Eric Peters points out, are really government roads. They will tell you what you can and cannot do on their government roads, even though you paid for it. Bloomberg says Trump's newfound enthusiasm has been used as leverage in the U.S.-Japan trade talks with the idea of Japan importing more American-made vehicles helped more negotiations, helped to move them forward. Ultra-compact cars have made several attempts to break into the American market before. In the 1960s and 70s, models like the Subaru 360, the Honda N600, targeted budget-conscious drivers, but they struggled against tougher safety standards and against Americans' preferences for bigger and more powerful vehicles. And, of course, this has always been an American thing. I remember the first time when it struck me, I went with a group in 1973 to Europe and went to several different countries, which at the time they were not really homogenized. Now they're kind of getting homogenized around Islam. But I don't know what Sharia law says about the size of cars or safety standards.
I'm so glad Europe is becoming such a peaceful.
But anyway, we're driving around the, you know, in these other countries, and after a couple of weeks, I kind of got used to the size of the cars. At first, it was like, wow, those are really tiny. And so after we got used to it, being there for a couple of weeks, come back in New York, and everybody's driving these big American sedans, and it's like. It was really kind of strange getting acclimated to these tiny cars and then seeing the big American cars again. And that was everybody's take on all this stuff. My mom freaked out when I bought a Triumph Spitfire because she'd always drive around in a Cadillac. And, you know, it's
you could put the Spitfire inside the Cadillac.
Yeah, a couple of them, actually. But anyway.
Reminds me of I sent you that one clip from the second Muppet movie that came out a few years ago. Where the European police officer is dealing with the American Eagle agent, whatever he is. They walk outside, and he says, ah, this is my car, the Beast, or whatever. It's just this tiny little box. Like, it's so large and luxurious, so I almost feel bad driving it.
Yeah. Well, the it is a marketing issue for them, really. And so they've tried this in the past, but for the most part, they don't. And then they had a resurgence. They tried again in the 2000s with the smart cars. Remember those? Did not happen. Got a little bit of traction in cities, but it did not last. And so the question is, as I look at this, could relaxed standards bring back sports cars like the original Miata? Make it lighter, make it more affordable. Well, as we said yesterday with Eric Peters, I really don't think that would do it because, as Eric pointed out, a lot of people don't view them as practical. You know, they... Even if they don't have kids, you know, soccer moms with the SUVs or the vans, even if they don't have kids, everybody believes that they need to be able to carry stuff. And so they buy a car for the worst case scenario of having to carry stuff all around. And so they don't see it as a viable day-to-day driver, which is the way I used mine. And I don't go anywhere today. Now I know I hardly ever go out, but I used it as a day-to-day driver. Now, you know, I take it occasionally just for fun to drive around the mountains, but that's the way most people would have it. They would not view it as a practical car in America. So I don't see the small cars coming back, even if you've made them cheaper and more fun. People just don't have the money for it, and that's the point that Eric Peters talks about. He also talks about the Toyota Hilux. And that was something that we got a lot of amusement out of, the way Jeremy Clarkson and Top Gear talked about the Toyota Hilux, the diesel pickup that was not allowed to be sold here in America. Both the Department of Transportation and the EPA hated a car like the Hilux because it didn't have all the airbags and stuff that the DOT wanted, and it didn't have and it had a diesel engine, which the EPA did not like. But the thing was basically indestructible, and that was at least one episode that they built it around. And then after they did everything they could to kill this car, including driving it into the ocean, it was still running. And so they, in a place of honor, they hung it from the ceiling, and they would always talk about how it was indestructible. But you're not allowed to have one in the United States. Other countries around the world are allowed to have it, but America is not a free country.
The Taliban and ISIS can drive those little Toyota Hiluxes all over the place. But no, right. Not you. You don't get those.
That's why they have the advantage in asymmetric warfare.
What if I were to promise not to put a gun emplacement on the back? Can I drive it then?
Well, Trump, says Eric Peters, appeared to say that Americans are going to be allowed, isn't that great? Allowed to buy small, inexpensive vehicles that are not currently available for sale in America. So that's really kind of where we are in America, isn't it? Everything is prohibited. Unless expressly allowed. That's true of medicines. It's true of cars. It's true of so many different things. In America, it's illegal to sell them. The Toyota Hilux and others are these so-called Kai cars, abundant in Japan, but unavailable here, of course, and in, not just in Japan, but many places. So the president said that you're not allowed to build them, which isn't exactly true, said Eric Peters. The manufacturers could build them here. The problem is that because they're not compliant with DOT rules, they can't sell them here. And, you know, the EPA plus the DOT. You can allow, they will allow them to be sold for off-road use only. And he talked about other vehicles as well, like the Roxor, which he says looks like an original World War II Willys Jeep, legal only for off-road use. And so he says the reason they're not produced here is because it makes no economic sense to produce them here if you can't sell them here or use them here. He said it'd be absurd to produce a vehicle meant for use on public roads that cannot be used on public roads. It's fine to buy one of these Roxors, a kind of a primitive Jeep, or a side-by-side if you got a farm or enough land to knock around on and enough money to buy a fun toy to play with in the field. Most people have neither. And I would say that, just as I said about the small cars, the K-cars and Miatas and things, most people view them as just a fun toy, even if you're allowed to drive it on public roads, and they don't have the money for that anymore. So most would never even consider buying a four off-road use only Toyota Hilux Champ or any other vehicle like that. Second thing is that it's more expensive to produce them here than anywhere else. Hilux that Toyota offers for sale in other places for $16,000 would probably cost $25,000 if we're made in the U.S. because of the much higher manufacturing costs in the U.S.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And, of course, what has Trump done? He's driven the manufacturing costs up. He's put tariffs on metal and things like that that are used for car manufacturing. And that's not even including the components that you now have to pay extra money for, tariffs to the government to bring them in. And I can say it's one of the reasons why I'm so adamantly opposed to this lie that is being pushed by Trump supporters that tariffs don't affect the cost of anything. I remember the first time we went to England on our honeymoon, and I was looking at cameras, and I had just bought a camera before we took the trip, and I was amazed at how expensive the prices were. And it was simply because of tariffs. Why do they have to pay two or three times as much for a camera in London as I had paid in Tampa. Well, it's not just the cost of living in a bigger city. It was because of tariffs. The cameras were still made in both places. They're made in Japan. And they had tremendous tariffs there in London. And I thought, and why is that? Because they're not making, they don't have a British camera manufacturer that they're trying to protect here, right? It's just the government is greedy. And that's what's the case with most of Trump's tariffs. He's not even protecting an American manufacturer. It's just he wants the money. Low-cost vehicles like the Hilux are not compliant. Some of them have no airbags and too few to be compliant with federal safety standards. You know, this is actually like the people who say, well, it's an existential threat. We've got to cut down emissions. We've got to cut down all the greenhouse gases and CO2 that are coming out of the cars. And just like with the COVID MacGuffin, if you came up with a solution that wasn't one of their partners in Big Auto, just like one of their partners in Big Pharma, if you came up with a solution that didn't involve the politicians and their corporate sponsors, you were not allowed to do it. There were a lot of people who came up with even like, you know, small electric vehicles, and they would make them three-wheel vehicles because that's the way they got around the Department of Transportation. But still, they couldn't get these things into production. I mean, there was even a small three-wheel gasoline car, the Elio. Remember that? The guy was going to make it in the U.S., and it was going to get something like 80 miles per gallon, but he couldn't get past the government regulations and other issues that were there. And they had to go with a three-wheeler, because if they didn't go with a three-wheeler, the DOT would shut it down from the very beginning. Some of them have no airbags at all, so it's doubtful any of them could pass federal side impact and rear impact and other such standards. Making them compliant would just be just as expensive as the cars that we are allowed to buy, which brings up the issue. Exactly how are they going to allow only small cars to get around the side impact and rear impact and airbags and all the rest of these stuff, regulations? Are they going to have a carve-out saying, if you're this size, you don't need to have that kind of stuff? Or are they going to get rid of them altogether? If you want it, you should be allowed to buy it. But if you don't want it, you shouldn't be forced to buy it. And that goes back to that video that we showed a couple of weeks ago of these Democrats calling for mandates on safety features, and the Republican counterpart, who used to be a car dealer, and he went around and got their vehicle identification numbers, and he found that even though they had the option to buy these safety devices for their cars when they bought their cars, none of them chose to buy that. And so here they are telling you, you must buy it because I say so. So while none of them pollute, the emissions of CO2 are not a problem. They have engines that run all the time, unlike the hybrids that are being shoved down our throats. They achieve compliance by cycling the engine off as often as possible. So that's the game that they're playing with the hybrids. Oh, yeah, it's got, you know, when it runs, its emissions are really no different than the other vehicles that are out there. But we can turn the engine off and run it off the battery for a while. But they don't like to have any emissions in places like the UK. It's zero emissions, and only if you have a zero-emission vehicle, totally electric, are you allowed in the cities. And so now they're coming for those. I've said from the very beginning, it's about banning private transportation completely and private car ownership. But anyway, going back to Eric Peters, he said the hybrids that we're allowed to buy naturally cost more because of the expensive hybrid equipment. Batteries, electric motors, and all the complicated stuff to switch back and forth. So to be legally able to offer these for sale vehicles like the Hilux, the federal regulations mandating such things as multiple airbags and many other things would have to be set aside. But they have not been set aside, he said. More finally, the apparatus that emit them have not been set aside. So these bureaucrats who are out there doing this stuff. And again, what are you going to do? Are they going to set these things aside? If they do, are they only going to do it for small cars? You know, we can't have it set aside for everything, right? Any talk about such vehicles being allowed is wishful thinking at best, disingenuous at worst. And I got to say, if they're going to say, well, we want the Kai cars, so we're going to set aside the regulations for the Kai cars. How are they going to get that justified? Because people are going to say, well, you needed even more on the small car than you need on the bigger cars in order to protect people and keep them safe. Seems to me like they'd run into even more opposition if they carve it out just for the small cars.
I don't expect any logic from this. It reminds me of the Aptera stuff. And
yeah.
About 10 years ago, more or less, there was several car companies that were trying to create a cheap car in the U.S., a small car, and they all had to do a three-wheel vehicle. Elio Motors was another one.
Yep.
They were restricted to three wheels because they had lighter regulations on motorcycles.
Yeah.
So they could create something that was basically a car, but just had one big wheel in the back, and that got them around some of the regulations so that they at least had a chance. I think most of them went under anyway.
Yeah, the Aptera was really a bizarre-looking thing. I mean, that was something, if you saw that, it was like some, looked like it was going to be a flying car or something like that. And it had solar panels across the top, but a very, very different car, three-wheeler. I never ever saw one in real life. I don't know if they ever wound up even making them or not.
Yeah, I never heard anything about it besides the, we're working on this, we're trying.
And so he says Trump could just decree the safety and emission regulations null and void, which is what he should do. He said that would change everything in a very good way. Yes, it would. If you support the notion that other people ought to be free to decide for themselves whether they're willing to risk driving a vehicle without airbags because it would enable them to buy a new vehicle that they cannot otherwise afford. But when was the last time that you heard Americans say it's a free country? Yeah, Eric and I are on the same page with that. Trump could make it a lot freer because it's important that no one would be forced to buy an airbag vehicle. They would merely be available. But the regulatory bureaucrats at the Department of Transportation, as well as EPA, he said he can authorize Duffy to allow the production of non-compliant vehicles, but that's a very different thing than authorizing their lawful sale to Americans. And the bureaucrats are not going to go quietly into that good night. At least, though, it's being talked about. It could gin up the needed public political support to get the federal apparatchiks out of our business as regards the kind of vehicles we're allowed to buy. I think we're going to, the only solution to this is going to be if the federal government goes bankrupt. you could have states, as some of them have done, relaxing gun manufacturing laws. I mean, if the states wanted to exercise the 10th Amendment and nullify federal laws on these things, you could say, well, you know, you can manufacture whatever kind of car you want, whatever kind of gun you want, and you can manufacture oil, liquor that you want, you know, whatever any of these things are. And the ATF and the DOT and the EPA are not going to be involved if we don't cross state lines. And so you can make it here, and we will pass laws to say that you can use it here. Other than that, I don't see anything happening. It's not going to happen with Trump. And so here's the rope-a-dope. That's the Aptera. That's what I'm saying. Look at that. It's like, wow, now that is really radical styling.
And they had to do this because it had to be classified as a motorcycle. This right here is a motorcycle, legally speaking.
All kinds of regulatory hoops. That's what I'm saying. The big problem with American innovation and American manufacturing is not the foreign competitors, and it's not foreign governments. We has met the enemy, and they is us. They're in Washington. They is the USA. And they are the enemy of manufacturing and innovation in America. In these bureaucracies, they're a bigger threat to you than China Incorporated.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
But electric car demand sinks as drivers in the UK are facing a pay-per-mile tax. And we always said this. I said it. Eric Peters said it. Many people realize that that's eventually what they're going to have to do. Because they'd funded roads based largely on fuel taxes. And once the fuel goes away, they're going to base it on how much you use the car. Miles driven. And I said that that is actually the main thing that they want, because that gives them the so-called justification to track and to follow everything that you do. See, they're more interested in that, really, than they are in the money. And that's another thing I've said for the longest time. The income tax was more about in the early days when they didn't have computers and AI and surveillance and all the rest of this stuff and the Know Your Customer rules. The income tax was really a way for them to surveil people and also to set people up to be prosecuted for, for them to come after their political enemies, as Nixon used it in his administration, or sought to use it. And so I said they could make more money like the people in Europe do with a VAT tax. That's a tax, a sales tax, at every step of production. Every time it changes hands, there's a tax there. And that is embedded into the cost of items that were made or services that were done. And so it was something that people didn't see that much. It was very invisible, whereas the income tax was really in your face and got people upset and very difficult to comply with. And they forced everybody to do it because they wanted that intel. Now they got other ways to do it. But the point of the electric cars was really to throttle private cars and to make them difficult and expensive, to ban the cars that most people have, to make the replacements really expensive so most people couldn't afford it. And then if you did get it, they want to know where you are all the time and how much you're driving. And so we've got to be able to constantly monitor you. And that's really the plan. So they've got a new Chancellor of the Exchequer, I think it is. It's the budget person. Rachel Reeves in the UK announced a new pay-per-mile tax. Because, again, just like here, you know, the bureaucrats can come up with their own programs. You know, the TSA wants to charge you $45 because you don't have a real ID. Okay, we'll do $45. We'll talk about doing an $18 thing, and then we'll just decide, well, okay, we had the comment period. Wasn't a lot of pushback on it, so we'll make it $45. How about that? And that's the way government by bureaucracy looks like. So electric vehicle sales grew at the slowest rate in 2 years in November. The weakest growth were almost 2 years ahead of the government announcing a new tax on EVs that should be seen as a wake-up call that a sustained increase in demand for EVs cannot be taken for granted. Well, it was always the case. We always knew there was going to be a road tax, and we always understood the purpose was surveillance. So the Chancellor of the Exchequer announced a new pay-per-mile road tax. The levy will charge drivers of electric cars 3 pence per mile when it comes into force April of next year. And it'll cost people, on average, about £250 a year. The change is meant to make up for the lost fuel taxes and to start bringing EVs in line with petrol and diesel vehicles. I mean, they've used the taxes and fines to push people out of internal combustion engines, even to the extent that they charged people money to park based on the fact that it was an internal combustion engine. And if you had a diesel car that you parked, the fees were really expensive. They don't want you just having it sitting around, because at some point in time, when the when it hits the fan, they think you might want to use that. But
and
no.
Of course, 3 pence per mile is where it starts.
That's right.
That's where it starts. It's not going to stay there for long.
Yeah, people look at 250 pounds a year. That's maybe
not that much.
Yeah, that's maybe 20 pounds a month. I can handle that, you know, which may be, what, 30 bucks or something here.
Except, but, of course, for people that are forced to drive, for instance, if they have a long commute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. The change is meant to make up for lost fuel duty, as I said, but it is really, and has been in the long game, justification for constant tracking. Fully electric cars make up 26% of all new car sales in the UK, up from 25% a year ago. The proportion of EV sales, however, still falls short of the 28% annual target that car makers who fail to meet the level will risk fines. So that's kind of like the corporate average fuel economy. What they're saying is you must have, of the cars that you sell, at least 28% of them must be electric, or we're going to hit you with a fine, just like in the U.S. they hit the car manufacturers if their average fuel economy of the cars that they sell is under a certain limit. So same type of thing. Same type of thing. So now gas cars are cheaper to run in the UK than EVs after this tax, unless they said you have a driveway. So I guess apparently what they're going to do is to apply the tax when you charge it publicly or something. It'll make the gas cars cheaper to run than electric cars unless you're charging it at home with a driveway. But they point out that in the UK, you know, taxes have been so high there for so long, most people don't have a driveway. They don't have enough space that they can park a car.
Government came, repossessed me driveway, took it right out.
Home charging is a make-or-break factor now for electric car affordability. The electrifying.com compared the cost of owning and operating an electric Volkswagen with that of a gas Volkswagen Golf. That's like the rabbit here. Based on driving both of them for about 8,000 miles per year, which is about half of what the average American puts on every year. The electric car's annual running costs would average about £900, with £1,200 for a Volkswagen Golf. However, drivers without a garage or driveway who rely solely on public charging would see their annual running costs rise sharply to £1,500. Only about 30% of British households have access to off-street parking. They don't have, only 30% have driveways or a garage. Drivers who can access a cheaper overnight rate when charging at home could enjoy substantially lower running costs at £558. But plug-in hybrids, meanwhile, will be subject to a 1.5 pence per mile charge from 2028. And it would become more expensive to run than a gas vehicle if they're not regularly charged at home. So there you go. That's the rope-a-dope. And it has all really been about saying we've got to charge you for when you're driving, so we have to see everything that you're doing. Now, Reason talks about, this is the first time I've seen Reason do this. Eric has talked about this for the longest time. New cars at just under $50,000 average. They say looser fuel rules could ease the price. Trump's trade wars certainly haven't helped automobile consumers. They've driven up the costs because of tariffs on metal and on components. But on Wednesday, his administration did something that could actually bring car prices down. It moved to loosen, not to remove, but to loosen the CAFE standards. And that's the real issue. If you leave that in place, you know, we talk about the rationale for killing those people who were shipwrecked. Well, you know, if we didn't kill them, they might survive and keep doing what they're doing, which is drugs, which is now evidently a capital offense. That, and we will use the military as the world's policeman. But if you leave these bureaucrats in place, you got to do a double tap strike on these guys, because if you leave them in place, if you leave this bureaucracy in place, it will come back to kill us. And that's the reality. They are as dangerous, if not more so, than fentanyl. Because at some level, fentanyl is voluntary, and none of this federal regulation stuff is voluntary. Under the proposed rule, a manufacturer's fleet of light-duty vehicles and SUVs will be required to average 34.5 miles per gallon by 2031. And so that's what Trump is going to do. He's going to pull it back to that, which is still much, much higher than it ever was before. Do you see how the Republicans, Democrats do the, one, two steps forward on the Democrats, and then the Republicans pull it back and say, no, we're only going to take it forward by one step. And they constantly do this left-right march of tyranny that's there. But because the Democrats wanted 50 miles per gallon target, and that was something that Obama and Biden put in.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Transportation Department also intends to stop allowing automakers to buy credits from competitors to offset these fines. So that system has meant a windfall for EV manufacturers like Tesla. In May, Republicans overruled the senior parliamentarian to kill California's EV mandate. In July, the One Big Beautiful Bill removed fines for automakers who failed to comply with the CAFE standards. And I gotta ask, this doesn't answer that question. If they killed the fines for failing to meet the corporate average fuel economy, why does anybody care about any of this stuff? What is the enforcement mechanism?
Well, they're so going to show up and they're going to scold you really bad. And just, no.
I suspect that they didn't get that right, or maybe they're talking about California. Sheldon Whitehouse has called it terrible and predicted that it, if finalized, it will saddle the U.S. with more pollution. CO2 is not pollution. Higher costs and worse vehicles. So this is, as Reason says, you know, this is all put in when people freaked out about the OPEC oil shocks of the 1970s. And that was Carter putting in the Department of Energy in response to that. And EPA was created by Nixon to handle pollution. But both of them have wielded their power by the Department of Energy mandating efficiency, and the EPA banning the production of so-called greenhouse gases. Nobody is concerned about the Constitution, and nobody's concerned about liberty either, and that includes Reason, because Reason says, well, since the inception of CAFE, the U.S. has transitioned from a net importer of energy to the world's largest energy exporter, and this was done in response to the oil shocks of the 70s. It was done unconstitutionally. I don't care what your problem is. This was not an option to even be done. And just like the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, it was not an option that could be constitutionally considered. But Reason doesn't really care about liberty or the Constitution, I guess. Market forces, they said, are more important. The influx of Japanese vehicles during the 70s was caused by people wanting to avoid lines at gas stations and save money at the pump. EVs have grown in popularity over the last few years because people want to reduce gas costs and reduce their greenhouse gas footprint. Well, I mean, if you want to waste money because you believe this COVID MacGuffin, that is climate MacGuffin, that's your choice. Don't make me play that fantasy game. Like I've said before, you know, when you talk about the trannies, if somebody thinks that they are Napoleon, they're welcome to dress up like Napoleon and march around. But don't make me salute and don't make me fall in line behind them. I'm not going to do it. And I feel that way about the climate MacGuffin as well. And we talk about reducing gas costs. These are people who evidently can't do the math. Because if you pay tens of thousands of dollars more for this thing up front, it takes a very long time to get that back. And even if you don't do the math in terms of the present value of what you know, the money is that you have just lost over a long period of time, the Reason Foundation said that fuel economy standards like CAFE cost 3 to 4 times as much to achieve similar gains in fuel economy and emission reduction as a fuel tax. Well, there you go. We accept the premise of CO2 being a problem, in addition to not being a cost-effective way, they said, to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So Reason just assumes that the climate MacGuffin is really a problem, doesn't question it. Of course, they did the same thing with the vaccines and COVID stuff. And they would argue that, well, the remedies for the COVID pandemic, which didn't exist, may not be the most effective way to do this. Maybe we ought to do something else. So I look at like a policy issue rather than a legal issue, rather than a liberty issue. But repealing the Biden-era CAFE standards will probably not reduce car costs immediately, but it could be a good first step. But the Trump administration is saying that it will reduce the costs immediately, and they've come out with a huge number. They say it would save us $109 billion. I have seen them do this over and over again. Their numbers are always phony, always exaggerated, as is the timeline that is there. But it's the right thing to do. And I wish they would do it fully rather than just marginally around the edges.
Not only are not all Americans about to die from fentanyl like they were going to import enough to kill all Americans, but now all Americans are going to save $109 billion off this thing.
That's right. You might want to argue it from a individual choice standpoint. So they have, when this is signed in December, it will be, there'll be people, the executives from Ford, GM, and Stellantis, which, by the way, Stellantis is not an American car company anymore. It's owned, it's a French car company that Obama handed Chrysler to. They kept the names, Dodge and Chrysler and things like that. But they're the reason that they came up with an electric charger, which they should have come with that name. You know, it's like a, call it Norelco or something.
They really didn't understand who was buying the charger.
No, and they don't understand Jeeps either, because they have decked out the Jeeps to the extent that the typical person who wants a Jeep and the things that they want it for can't afford a new Jeep. And so they've driven that into the ground. Biden, again, raised these things to a ridiculous amount, and they wanted to have 8 to 10% annually proposed for some vehicles to increase the corporate average fuel economy. Obama wanted it to be 54.5 miles per gallon as a corporate average fuel economy by 2025. Not possible at all. That was just going to end all gasoline cars. So we'll see what happens with this. But I want to talk about Flock, because it's something that people don't really realize just how pervasive and how sinister Flock is. And this is a situation where two small towns, cities in Washington State, Stanwood and another town called Cedro Woolley, they were challenged by an individual who said, I don't like the idea that I'm being followed around all the time by these Flock cameras. And so he brought a civil case against them. And the lawyer wanted this information released as public data. And I think that's the perfect approach. One of the reasons that they're getting away with this is because of the boiling the frogs aspect. They gradually get us acclimated to being surveilled all the time. We need to see what a huge step this Flock thing is. And perhaps that might get enough people to push back that we could stop this thing. And so that was what the lawsuit was about. And the judge ruled in their favor and said, if you're going to say that you can take everybody's picture in public, because it's things that people are doing in public, well, then you need to make that information public data by the same argument, right? If nothing is private, as long as you're in public, and that's the rules under which they have all the public surveillance, well, then the surveillance that you get from filming people in public, that ought to be public information as well. So show us what you're collecting.
Additionally, they're saying if this is being used by courts and government, then it must be public.
That's right. That's right. So two aspects of that, to say make this information public. So this article from Car Scoops says across the U.S., thousands of automated license plate readers, well, it's actually tens of thousands. And it's not just the fact that they're reading your license plate. This Flock system, as I've pointed out many times before, is really setting up, it's kind of like a biometric data system for your car. They're looking at all the idiosyncrasies, you know, a dent here, a scrape there, whatever, to build a profile of your car exactly. So they don't even need the automated license plate reader. That just is additional verification.
And these things are going up everywhere. There was one of them where the guy was complaining because it was pointed at his house. It was pointed at the road in front of his house, but his house obviously is in the background. Anytime he leaves or comes back to his house, it's going to be recorded. Anytime anyone drives by his house, it's going to take a picture of his house and him in the background.
That's right. So this is something that is far beyond. There already is a vast network of automated license plate readers. These are things that are put on telephone poles or above intersections. And then you have the police who are, using their cameras all the time. But it's the Flock network that is so large and so invisible.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption.
Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Turns out those pictures are now public data, according to a judge's recent ruling, and almost as soon as that decision was handed down, local officials scrambled to shut the cameras down. What are they afraid of you seeing that they pull that back? That's very much like the case that happened with Stingray not too many years ago. This Harris Semiconductor came up with a way for the police to do electronic surveillance. And use that without a search warrant. And so they brought a case again, and it was actually a criminal case. It was somebody who had done a household burglary or something like that. So it was something that should have been punished. And yet, when they brought up the issue of a search warrant, the judge said, well, I need to see, you know, what your agreement is and how you're using this stuff. And they said, well, we have a non-disclosure agreement, Judge, with Harris Semiconductor, and we can't show that to you. And he said, I don't have a non-disclosure agreement, and it's nothing that I recognize. You'll either show me that, or I'm going to dismiss this case. They refused to show the NDA, the non-disclosure agreement, to the judge, and so he terminated the case and let the burglar go free. That's how important it is for them to keep these secret agreements secret, and they don't want people to see just how pervasive this is. So the ruling stems from a civil case involving those two cities I mentioned. The guy is an Oregon resident. His name is Jose Rodriguez. And Jose said, no way. Good for him. He works in Walla Walla, and he sought to access the images as part of a broader inquiry into government surveillance. So he was traveling quite a bit on the roads, and it bothered him that they were keeping track of this. So the judge sided with him, concluded that the data qualify as public records subject to the Public Records Act. And that's what Lance was talking about. In other words, if they're going to keep public records, then people need to be able to see the public records, right? There's an act that says public records need to be transparent to the public. But they don't want you to know that. So the decision immediately led to both cities deactivating their Flock systems. And I bet it was Flock who told them to do that, because they don't want you to know. And I got to say that even though there was a court victory here, this local court, and should have been, she made the right decision. Even though that happened there, I'm telling you that, we should have this fight everywhere. But if we win in the local courts, you can expect Flock, with all the money that they're making, you can expect them to appeal this all the way to the Supreme Court. And I think they'll win at the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court has absolutely no respect for the Fourth Amendment or other aspects of the Constitution when it comes to privacy and surveillance. We've seen that over and over again. Just look at TSA, how they've greenlit that over and over again at the Supreme Court, even the most conservative with them. People like Scalia, they are going to authorize that. So, they're mounted everywhere, not just where a crime is suspected, and they're constantly recording this, and it is public data. But the company pretends that it is private because they're making this available to the police. So while the technology is marketed as a tool to identify stolen cars or vehicles connected to active investigations, records already released to Jose Rodriguez and reviewed by the local station there show that the cameras capture everyone all the time. He said the indiscriminate nature of this technology motivated his request. I felt that's violating my privacy, everyone's privacy. It's taking pictures of every single vehicle that passes by. That sweeping action, the system photographing everyone, was central to the judge's ruling. Attorneys for two cities argued that the releases of the images would compromise the privacy of innocent people and expose them to stalking. See, it's okay if you've got the government stalking you and looking for how it can come after you, but, we don't want individuals doing what the government does, right? Ironically, that is the same argument that many who oppose these cameras make. Although law enforcement and other private companies say that access is limited, the reality is that no system is without flaw. And the reason why you want to have a search warrant, folks, is because you don't want to have a system where, like Stalin or like Trump, you got a grudge against somebody, and so you start auditing their life to see if you can find crimes. And it ought to be something that is an obvious crime, and then you start looking to see who committed it, rather than the other way around. Bring me the man, and I'll find the crime. There are documented cases of those with approved access using this system criminally. Hackers could also gain access. So the judge ruled that because there were so many photos, and it was largely disconnected from active criminal investigations, they had to be released under state law. So the attorney who took this said the ruling highlights how little oversight exists over this. They noted that Flock's software extends beyond simple plate recognition, capable of identifying vehicles through model details, through dents, through bumper stickers, through roof racks. Again, it is biometric surveillance, if you will, of a non-living thing that is traveling around. They profile it that way. Attorneys for the cities said they will review the decision before determining whether or not to appeal. For now, though, the cameras are not coming back online.
This reminds me of the other video we played twice of the hearing where the local officials were trying to force people to get these safety things put on their cars.
That's right. Yeah. Let's play that. This is what
would
I was talking about.
Would it surprise you that I got the VIN numbers of every one of my Democrat colleagues' vehicles and found that none of them bought any of the additional safety technologies on their cars?
I did not know that, Senator.
So when you are actually shopping for a car with your own money, you don't buy the technology. But we're sitting here saying that this should be mandated for everybody else's cars. And what's been the result? We drove up the price of cars almost doubled in the last 10 years.
I object to you stalking my car and my staff to find the VIN numbers to present to this committee. Why are you doing there? What are you going to do with them? It's an invasion of our privacy. If you came and asked me for my VIN, I will tell you what I have in my car.
It's visible from the outside of the car.
So you went and followed me. You went and followed me to see who drives me.
Can I reclaim my time?
Write down their VIN number. You interrupted me. You're attacking me. You watched me go to see who drives me, writing down their VIN number. So you could find out what they have. That seems a little creepy.
The hypocrisy.
It seems a little creepy when Flock is writing down your license plate, not writing it down, but putting it in their system, which actually is more effective. And then following you around and keeping all that information and reporting it to people like her. She would support that for everybody else, just not for her. Well, the FBI wants the ability to surveil Americans now with biometric AI drones. It's not enough to have cameras on all the telephone poles. It's not enough to have them everywhere and to have them inside the police cars. Now they want to have biometric AI surveillance on drones. And this is a request for information. In other words, they put out a bid for people to create systems for them. Tell us how much it would cost. We'll make sure that we get you the business. And yet another escalation of the march toward towards technocratic dystopia. The FBI is seeking to acquire AI surveillance drones with facial recognition capabilities. This is reported first.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
By The Intercept. This is on Free Thought Project, if you want to find it. It's a summary from Pleasure to Burn was the author of this. The agency published the request for information regarding AI solutions for unmanned aerial systems, drones. The document says the government would like to know which firms can provide artificial intelligence and machine learning solutions for UAS platforms, drones. The document lists desired features of such technology, including object detection, vehicles, vessels, people, animals, firearms, license plate recognition, and facial recognition. So now what they're going to do is basically, imagine Flock will jump on this thing. All they got to do is move their system from telephone poles to drones, right? And this is our government. They have this obsession with knowing everything about us, and they don't want you to know anything about what they're doing. If you say, well, I'd like to see the information that you got, well, never mind, never mind. We're going to shut this down. We'll let the criminals go free rather than telling you what our Stingray program is about, and we will shut down the Flock cameras in this area if that judge says that that data is going to be released. Federal law enforcement agencies have conducted aerial surveillance on the domestic population before, especially during protests. Local law enforcement agencies are adopting drones as well. However, the FBI's new request for information on this drone capability aligns with broader efforts to integrate AI and biometrics into government tools and operations. And I've said from the very beginning, AI is about surveillance, and it's about control, and it's about creating a digital prison for all of us. I mean, even Elon Musk is already thinking about how his products, his AI, and his robots can be used as your own personal guard in your own digital prison that is here. You know, he's running through the ideas for that. Of course, it's not practical yet, but, you know, the surveillance that we get through the internet and through social media and other things like that was not practical when it was designed by DARPA psychologists. The technology will come. As they point out in this article, the FBI surveilling people without authorization or reason is a long tradition that goes back to J. Edgar Hoover. And they've had their COINTELPRO programs and things like that. And, of course, the TSA, when you look at the TSA, what they are doing. Interestingly enough, that this FBI, essentially, not actually to the level of a request for purchase, but it is up to the point where they are throwing this out there to get people to give them a proposal. The FBI's interest in this AI drone surveillance came around the same time as Kristi Noem at Homeland Security touted a billion-dollar expansion of TSA screening technology to include biometrics. And then the fees for the real ID stuff as well. Some Americans seem comfortable with such tools being used against illegals. And understand that the way this is going to run is the GOP, and I'm not talking just about the politicians, but I'm talking about the base, the Republican voters out there. They're fine with digital ID if you tell them the reason is we've got to control the illegals that are here. They're fine with having to have a number from the federal beast in order to work, as long as you tell them it's for the illegals, right? And so they applaud all this stuff. Another big area that they use for tracking people and getting rid of privacy and anonymity is to say, well, we got to have ID to use the internet now because kiddies could get online porn. We're not going to ban the porn, but we're going to ban the anonymous use of the porn because we've got to protect the kids. So there's a lot of different areas where the Republicans are pushing fear in order to push a Mark of the Beast system here. And the Republican voters are just falling in line with that fear. TSA screening efforts will undoubtedly affect Americans traveling through airports, but of course Flock cameras have been compiling vast scores of this information on all of this for quite some time. But we're told it's okay because this is all about illegal immigrants. It's all about stopping porn, and you'll buy into it, right? So a 2015 DHS investigation found that TSA agents failed their breach test 95% of the time. This is higher than I've been reporting. I've been saying like 80 or 90% of the time. 95% of the time. Which tells you that there's no threat to airports or to airplanes. Because we would have had an incident if that were the case. And they told you that back in 2011. That was in internal TSA documents, as I pointed out many times, that we were able to see because of a lawsuit.
Maybe TSA has stopped a bunch of terrorist attacks and we've just gotten really lucky that it's all been in the 5% of things that they catch.
Yeah, that's right. They can't define terrorism, but they know when they see it, right? There's no significant evidence to prove that the NSA's bulk data collection program foiled any terror attacks. at least according to a member of a White House review panel regarding NSA spying in 2013. A similar pattern applies to AI technologies. One project that aimed to harness AI to detect weapons in schools has grossly underperformed. In another concerning example, a leaked Pentagon memo expressed security concerns over the hackability of a new AI-heavy Army communications system built by Anduril and Palantir and other contractors. In other words, you're going to become so reliant. What did we hear? That was one of the excuses, actually, with the October 7th attacks out of Gaza into Israel. They said, well, we have these automated cameras and guns that are there to protect the border. And that failed. Okay, so that gives them plausible deniability if they allow it to happen or whatever. But in reality, that you make a very, very complicated system like this. It's very easy for it to fail on its own. It's also easy for it to be hacked. So we can't control who sees what, and we can't see what users are doing. This is this Pentagon system. And we can't verify that the software itself is secure. And we can't verify that it doesn't have any bugs in it. Anduril and Palantir said, well, this is being resolved. Yeah, being resolved with a little bit more cash applied to the appropriate places. Hegseth is seeking to expedite weapons development and acquisition process, especially in these types of AI systems. So they appeal to the public because the politicians appeal to the public's fear about immigration, about crime, about terrorism, about loss of jobs, about election fraud, about coming after the kids. And then that's all conservative issues. Then we look at the left. They get the left buying into this because of fears of COVID or climate change, because of their fears of right-wing extremism. And so they have a way to get everybody to buy into this. But it's actually easier for them to get this stuff pushed forward with a conservative, nominal conservative politicians like Trump and his conservative base, who doesn't like all these things like immigration, crime, terrorism, drugs, election fraud, taking my job, all these things. That's why they put Trump in, because they know they can manipulate the MAGA people. They're operating out of fear, and they are clinging for safety from the they want safety from the government more so even than the left does. And so they're ripe for the picking, ready to be fleeced of their freedom and their dignity.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So Trump is pushing also for a national voter ID system. And again, DeSantis in Florida, GOP, pushing to make E-Verify mandatory. So let's move to a national worker ID, a national voter ID, a national internet ID, a national travel ID, Let's just have a national ID. Let's just call it the Mark of the Beast, right? Unsurprisingly, many companies are willing to satisfy these goals because they make a lot of money. Apple recently introduced its own digital ID, and countless other firms contract with intelligence agencies. Meanwhile, Sam Altman is still running around with his creepy little orb wanting to get your eyeball into his database, and he's willing to give you some crypto junk if you would do that. He calls it Tools for Humanity. This reminds me of the Twilight Zone episode, To Serve Mankind, right? And it was a cookbook. He's aggressively seeking to expand the adoption of his biometric iris scanning digital ID orb. Considering the company has said it's open to governments using their technology and that some countries are adopting their own forms of digital ID, it doesn't appear that this trend will abate. And of course, you know, people like Sam Altman, it's not just that his business model is based, like Elon Musk, his business model is based on doing what the government wants, because the government's got unlimited amounts of money, and because, you know, he can be as evil as he wishes and he'll still get the government to fund it. And that really is the customer of last resort. I might even say the first resort for all this artificial intelligence. Sam Altman is now wanting to do what Musk does with satellites as well. I mean, he's looked at Elon Musk, and Elon Musk started OpenAI, and then he took it over. He's looking at how Elon Musk is making a lot of money launching satellites. It's like, I can make a lot of money doing that as well, because my customer is the government. These issues don't originate with the exponential acceleration of modern technology. They just exacerbate it. The FBI, of course, is spying on Americans under J. Edgar Hoover. The CIA spied on Americans under Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon. Actually, going all the way back to Truman, who created the CIA, the NSA. NSA was an executive order. And Truman created the national security state. He created the policeman of the world issue. And then we also have the Patriot Act, FISA Section 702 surveillance. This all predates the rise of AI. Yeah, it's just that the technology has now been designed to expedite and to fulfill these dystopian plans. Yes.
I just am wondering why they felt the need to add in that the CIA spied at Americans under Lyndon Johnson and Richard Nixon, and then every subsequent president for the entire time they've existed.
That's right. Yeah, it is multi-presidential. Yeah, it's bipartisan, but it runs through all these administrations. So an interesting reversal of what I reported a couple of days ago, CNN had said a couple of days ago that Trump was losing and the GOP was losing the redistricting fight. Well, that's not the case now, because the Supreme Court just allowed Texas to keep the new redistricting map. And the three liberal justices, Kagan, Sotomayor, and Jackson, all dissented on this. But Republicans are going to be able to draw their own map in Texas. And whether you like it or not, that is what the Constitution allows, and gerrymandering goes back to the very beginning. When you allow the states to set up the election laws, you let them, they set up the dates for when they want to have their election, and they're the ones who vet the voters and things like that. And the gerrymandering is really about them being able to pick the voters. And that is a long-standing tradition. I don't like it, but there was no legal basis to oppose this at all. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I've got other news, court decisions that have been made as well.
But we do have comments, though. Pezzo Novante, 1776. Toyota TRD Pro at local dealership. Price is $68,000 plus.
Wow.
Keeps going up.
Real, what's a TRD? Is that a runner?
I think it's an SUV. Toyota.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it's Toyota Research and Development. Real Jason Barker. K Cars. I guess that's how it's pronounced. K.
Okay.
Not Kai. Cars are perfect starter cars for young people starting out.
Yeah, that's yeah. These are not the K cars from Lee Iacocca back in, what was it, the 70s or something. But that was a platform, a generic platform. But yeah, Eric and I have talked about that. How in France they had, you know, you could get a license at an earlier age, and kids were allowed to get kind of a provisional license, like a learner's license. And they could drive a particular class of car that they allowed there that was not large, and it was very slow, And starters could were allowed to buy these cheaper, slower cars and start to learn how to drive. And we've always talked about that in terms of it being a big jump to, for people to be able to get into a car now as a teen. The biggest issue is insurance. That's really where they get you right there for the kids.
Yeah. Handy says, when are we going to put exhaust pipes on volcanoes? Oh, my aching emissions. That's right. We'll have to.
Yeah, that's true.
Have to take care of that someday.
Yeah, they can actually cause climate change. You know, when Krakatoa, east of Java, went off, they had a little mini winter for several years there. In response to that, it puts up a lot of, did a little bit of geoengineering itself, engineering by the geo, of the geo, so.
I wouldn't mind a little bit more snow during the winter, so. If it, there's a volcano out there that wouldn't hurt anyone, feel free to go off. We have Defy Tyrant 1776. Car prices are nuts. I was looking at a 2009 Corolla, 113,000 miles. It was $8,000. That is crazy.
Wow.
That feels like something that I would have seen as a young teenager for about $1,500 or something like that. Someone just being like, all right, I'm upgrading. I'll get rid of this. Real Jason Barker, kids don't have an entry point for life now. Cars, housing, food, etc.
That's right. That's the point. That's how you do the you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. You have to cut it off at the beginning. It's just like when they come around and say, we're going to ban cigarettes for everybody under this age. You'll never be able to have cigarettes in your lifetime. That's the way they do it. You know, if you never had something, they can ban it from you and hope that you're not going to be angry enough that they took it away. It's harder to take away things from people than to preemptively ban it for a generation.
Yeah, I mean, even if something as simple as just fast food jobs, that was always kind of the domain of teenagers working their summer jobs, but not anymore. Now it's, you know, illegal immigrants. You go there and you basically have to speak Spanish to get your order across. The only one that's been somewhat protected from that is a place like Chick-fil-A because their reputation is based on their good quality service and how friendly their staff is. They have to be able to communicate you within in English.
Yeah.
And if they aren't capable of that, they don't get put in the front. And I'm sure their back end is loaded with as many as anywhere else. Skunk Hollow Rose Gardens, they put superchargers in K-cars. No problem. Zoom, zoom, little K-car. Let's go. Yeah. Pedal Junkie, on top of cars people can't afford, there is the traffic calming roadblocks they are putting in to make driving more difficult in cities that signed on to ICELI. ICELI?
Rosa. Italy, I think is it. I don't know.
Rosa Corre talked about this.
Yeah, behind the green mask. I interviewed her several times. She's unfortunately passed away, but she was very much into the RAND Corporation and how they would come into a community in the early days and they would say, well, we want to have a community message about, you know, whatever it is. And they would kind of ease into this thing. And the tactic that the RAND Corporation had was that they would come in with facilitators. And they were basically guiding the people who were there to make them think that that was actually what they came up with as a group, as a solution. When in reality...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The solution had already been decided beforehand, and they just used the RAND Corporation just used these people as facilitators and as influencers. But now you don't need that, because now you've got social media and you've got the internet, and that's where the influencers come in and push the solutions that have already been decided for people.
We have Nibiru 2029. China has millions of small death boxes awaiting shipment to Mark's America as soon as Trump cuts his kickback deal. I can't wait for my little death box.
Yeah.
Wally Walrus, you buy it. Someone side slams you. Kids in backseat injured. You go to jail for child abuse, and kids go to foster.
Yeah. Except that there's no airbags. There's no seat belts. There's no padding in the school buses that they drive the kids around all the time. It's protected by laws. That's the thing that always bothers me, you know. And I thought about that as a parent. It's like, if they come after me for, not having my kids in a car seat or something like that, and that wasn't just an academic issue. I mean, so one of the things that's always bothered me about these lockdowns that Trump did and telling people that they were not essential, so we experienced that when we had the video stores. We had the stores for about 14 years. And we never had a situation where we'd ever shut a store down under any circumstances. If it was a snow situation where everything was shut down, I had a four-wheel drive and I would go around and pick up employees and put them in the stores and then take them home later. But we wouldn't shut down the stores. But we had it was when Fran came through. It took out power for most of the areas in the triangle. And so there wasn't any point of us being open. We didn't have power for our store, and our customers didn't have power. They couldn't watch movies. But after that, after about two or three days, one of our stores and the neighborhoods around it got power back. So we went in and we opened it up. And Walmart was right across the street from us, and they were opened up. And so we operated through the day, and at about 6 o'clock, I mean, it was still not heavy business, but about 6 o'clock, we really didn't have any people coming in. But the police came in, and they ordered me to close. And I said, you got to close this because you're enticing people to come out, and it's not safe for people to be coming out. It's like, well, you determined that. But I said, Walmart's across the street. You don't think people are going to Walmart? Look at all the people that are over there and all the lights that are on over there and all the rest of this stuff. We're kind of hidden over here. And he said, well, you're not essential. And so I heard Trump use that term. It made my blood boil, and that made me really upset. So we left there, and we went to another store that had been closed, and we picked up some things there. Karen went in to pick up some money that had been left in the safe, in the drop box, and I double parked out front. And we have a cop who pulls up, and the kids have been in a car seat for a very long time. So while I was stopped, we let them get out of the car seat. And he came up, and he told me that I was parked illegally. And I said, no, I'm not parked. I'm just stopped. And I'm not getting out of the car. I'm just stopped here for a second. And so then he starts arguing with me about that. And then he sees that Travis is walking around in the back of the van. And so he goes, and your kids are not in the car seat. And so that's about that time Karen came out. And he was kind of surprised to see somebody coming out of the store because the entire strip center was shut down. And and he said, so what's going on here? I said, you know, this is our store here. And then his tune changed. You know, he thought we were essential now because we were small business owners, different than the police in Cary. And, this was an apex, but, he backed down at that point, because I was really angry at that point as well. And Karen really was angry when she came out. It's like, what are you doing? Because we'd just been harassed by these other cops. So I was not in the mood to take any orders and go quietly. And, but that's the thing that really bothered me about this Trump stuff. You're not essential. We can shut you down, but we're not going to shut down Walmart.
And, also, their reasoning for that is pretty amazing. You're enticing people to come out, like they're going to see through binoculars that you're open. It wasn't that they're going to check online or anything back in the days of video stores.
That's right. They couldn't tell online. We didn't have a website.
Just out there calling to them, come out, come out, rent a movie. iHandy says, I hate that feature. I rented a car last year. The first time I parked, it shut itself off. My mind subconsciously assumed the car was parked. I opened my door and took my foot off the brake.
Is that the automatic start-stop system?
Yeah.
Which the acronym to that is ASS, by the way. Eric Peters had a lot of fun with that. It is the ASS system. Designed by and for
Nibiru 2029. Trump's tax scheme of 2017 also created the first nationwide internet sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
Real Jason Barker, of course, Jason Barker is part of Knights of the Storm. You can find him at knightsofthestorm.com. It says pay per mile or kilometer, LOL.
I wonder if the English still use the term mile rather than kilometer. I don't know. They hung on to that for a while.
So bogus. The VW emissions scandal in USA was terrible because it took great diesel cars off the market here.
That was the point. You know, Eric and I talked about that for the longest time. You know, billions of dollars, I think it's something like $4 billion fines and criminal charges against some CEOs because they supposedly cheated on the emissions test. Give me a break. Nobody was harmed by that. That was worse than the ongoing scandal about the airbag deaths. And, you know, there was Takata airbags that would degrade in humid environments and then go off. And when it went off with that degraded process, it was like firing a shrapnel into your chest and killing people, right? It's like a gunshot going off, and it hit people with the metal particles because of degrading. And they had a couple dozen people killed worldwide with that. And unlike a vaccine that caused massive recalls from Honda and other companies that use those airbags. But there was no fine like that to against them, like there was against Volkswagen. They want you to have airbags. They don't want you to have diesels. That's the bottom line. They don't. All the rest of this stuff is just phony excuses.
So, bogus. No, I read that one. Narrow Way, Narrow Gate Ministries. When they outlaw cars and people return to horses, they'll ban horses because they fart and crap. S-Flow 0818. The cameras should need a search warrant.
Yeah.
Talking about Flock. Shelly A. Flock also is facial recognition. It's in their patent. Flock partnered with Amazon Ring and Sidewalk.
That's right.
I saw that was just this week.
Yeah.
They're now going to be getting biometric stuff from all of these private surveillance networks that people have bought for some reason.
So let me ask you, Lance, what do you think the slogan is going to be? Will it be one ring to rule them all?
They could partner with Palantir. Palantir, now with Ring.
Yeah, Amazon Ring will partner with Flock, and it'll be one ring to rule them all. So it's
we have Wally Walrus says, Flock of Sheeple. T-Dub-97401, the public in my town complained he got the Flock cameras shut off.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Nice.
Yeah, you might be able to do that just by complaint, not by the criminal complaint of a lawsuit. You might be able to complain to your elected representatives, but, you know, it depends. Your mileage may vary, but you should get it shut off.
The real Octo Spook. We pay for the collection of those records and everyone employed in collecting them.
Mm-hmm.
Pizzano Vante, 1776. That FBI surveillance via AI drone is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, secure in one's persons. I'd be surprised if there's anything the FBI does that doesn't violate some part of the Constitution or Bill of Rights.
That's right. And the Supreme Court is going to give them a pass on it. You just watch and see when they get to that point.
Pizzano Vante, 1776 again. There's a vast difference in no expectation of privacy in public. One may be filmed, recorded by a passerby, and the government actively identifying, surveilling, and tracking an individual.
I absolutely agree. It's totally right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we've got a new Christmas song here.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure. But I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I started out with an effort to redo the Trans-Siberian Orchestra's Carol of the Bells thing. And so I changed it a bit, and then Lance grabbed it, and he just got finished with the AI cover for it. So I hope you enjoy it. What you do with that, Lance. And we're talking about it, you know, like, well, what visuals are we going to put on that music? And so let's do, you know, the wise men coming. And, you know, he tried to make it a little bit more biblically accurate in terms of the fact that it's not three guys on camels. It was a pretty large entourage that came. One of the reasons that Herod was very disturbed about it. And if you go back and look at the geopolitics and where they came from, I mean, these people are natural geopolitical rivals and things like that, as well as concern about there being a king that was going to replace him. And so when he went back and did it, so he wanted to give a sense of that. It's difficult to do that when you don't have any kind of narrative to put that in there. So he's trying to do the narrative with the stories and try to make it very accurate in terms of costumes, in terms of buildings, as a matter of fact. Those models that you used for the castles and stuff were recreations of what people really believe it looked like, the archaeologists and so forth, right?
Yeah, I just found pictures of a room-sized model that someone did of ancient Jerusalem, and I fed that into a AI image generator and just told it to give me versions of this redone as a real drone shot of a ancient city from a Hollywood movie. Yeah. And then I animated those pictures to get the swooping stuff. I was trying to find the stuff I used. I couldn't find the exact models, but it was this sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, people reconstructed that. Yeah, there's, and those models are fascinating, but it's also fascinating to be able to put that in a computer and to basically do a flyover or through those types of models as well. That brings it to yet another level.
Yeah, I got a picture of Herod and gave that into the animator to get there, and I got...
When you looked at the Magi who were coming from Babylon, places like that, I first started looking at the way they were attired, and he said it looked a little bit too goofy to be believable, so he had to tone it back.
Like a bunch of stuff from statues of Babylonians and drawings that people had done, recreations of it, and they fed that into the generators, but you don't really see Babylonians represented in pop culture, so it's just kind of odd to see them. There's usually a pointed conical hat, sort of like a dunce cap.
Yeah.
That was the common thing. So I had that in a lot of the early stuff, but I felt I needed to tone it down so they didn't look so much like clowns. also, the interior of the palace was a reconstruction of what the palace in Jerusalem was supposed to look like.
Yeah, Herod's palace, that's right. Yeah. So, great job with that. Appreciate you doing that. And we'll be playing that more as we get through the Christmas season here. A federal grand jury has refused to indict Letitia James, the attorney general in New York, over this mortgage case. And again, I think they made the right decision. I think that what Trump did was despicable lawfare. And I don't think there's an excuse for it was despicable lawfare for what she did. And if you're going to come after her for unjust prosecution, for example, rather than saying, okay, you made up a case against me saying that I had defrauded people with these business papers and tried to get a process paperwork crime against him when he had a loan that the bank agreed to voluntarily. The government, she should not have had any quibbles about that. She tried to go in and pretend that he had made misrepresentations on it. And yet he paid the loan. They voluntarily made the loan to him. They didn't think they were defrauded, and they were not defrauded. They were paid. And so same thing with her. She made these statements on her mortgage case that were really not true. She said it was going to be her residence. She did not, like Lisa Cook, however, rent this out to other people from the get-go. It was vacant for a while, and then she put a relative in it rent-free. So you could make that kind of a claim tenuously, that it was not done as an investment property, but it was done as kind of residential property. So I don't know if that was the basis for it. But the bottom line is, we'll see this, and I mentioned this already yesterday when we were talking about the Democrat versus Republican responses to these attacks on the ship. It's like, it's not an excuse to say, well, the other person did it, so I get to do it as well. No, we need to have a standard that is the rule of law. And we need not to excuse something simply because it was done by our side and condemn it because it was done by the other side. So basically two wrongs don't make a right. The lawfare was wrong when she did it, and the lawfare was wrong when Trump did it. Trump doesn't know how to get these lawfare cases through, though, because he's got prosecutors who see what this is, and they don't want any part of it. And so he's out there going, you know, putting people in that are they got the case thrown out with James Comey because he had an illegally appointed person in that position, which is also something that had happened with some of the lawfare against him. You know, they pulled that back because of an illegally appointed prosecutor. This was for alleged bank fraud and making false statements to a financial institution, exactly the same thing that she had come after him for. And, of course, as I pointed out, James Comey getting released for the same reason that they shut down a special prosecution of Trump saying illegally appointed. It's interesting, the symmetry with all this stuff. Prosecutors, however, have a six-month grace period to refile these charges following the judge's ruling there. But this is something, this particular case with Ilhan Omar, this is not lawfare. This is a real crime, and this is a real serious crime. Ilhan Omar has been linked, of course, to this billion-dollar Somali fraud scheme. 70 members of the Somali community.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Involved in stealing $250 million of COVID funds, and millions of dollars were stolen from American taxpayers sent overseas to terrorist organizations. Al-Shabaab, I think it was, yeah. 80% of the money has not been recovered. And she's not only involved in that community, but she was involved in actual meetings there. Seven defendants were tried in connection with a scheme related to stealing more than $40 million in taxpayer funds. Five of them were found guilty. The FBI is still investigating an attempt by a Somali woman to bribe one of the jurors with $120,000 in stolen cash. The fraud extends deeper, with multiple schemes of this nature occurring over the last 5 years. On Monday, employees from the Minnesota Department of Human Services accused Governor Tim Walz of orchestrating a sweeping cover-up to shield the massive fraud ring from detection. He not only ignored early warnings, but he also actively retaliated against whistleblowers who sounded the alarm, according to employees. Now Omar finds herself in the crosshairs of the scandal. The New York Post has published alarming evidence that shows that she not only threw parties for one of the restaurants involved in the scheme, but she also personally knew one of its convicted owners. She introduced also legislation that led to this fraud scheme. She introduced a bill that led to $250 million in fraud, yet she claims to have been completely unaware of all of that. So, again, that is a serious crime, and that should be prosecuted. Unlike the cases, and I think, you know, Letitia James is absolutely reprehensible. I mean, she went after Alex Jones and InfoWars for silver, and they shut down all of the silver products that they had, which was a legitimate thing, not just for COVID, but for everything. And it was not sold as a cure for COVID, but she went after it was sold as something that was you know, helpful to avoid infections or something like that. And, you know, the silver toothpaste that they had, even that was shut down. And it is used in hospitals for infections to treat that. And it's used for, there's a silver salve that is used for burn patients because they are very susceptible to infections. But she got that banned. And he was so concerned with the lawfare involved with it, he just shut down all silver products all at once. She also went after Tim Baker, who was pushing it at the time, and But that's not her only issues. I mean, she's got a lot of issues. She is a crooked prosecutor, if ever there was one. Nevertheless, the charges against her were fake. So there was also a clandestine campaign to defund Zero Hedge, The Federalist, and Breitbart. That's now been traced back to the UK's Keir Starmer. How about that? It's almost like, you know, Keir Starmer is pushing very, very hard for this Ukrainian war. And as they say, you know, the first casualty of war is the truth. And the first thing happens with war is they start censoring the press. Could this be yet another indication that World War III has begun? The fact that you have these people in Europe and the UK that are out there rapidly shutting down free speech in other countries. Well, we're seeing it all the time. I mean, you have Israel pushing to censor free speech here in America. You've got the UK pushing to do it. You've got the EU pushing to do it on the internet. And then you have our own tyrants here at home. It's not like they're standing up to defend free speech or anything. No, they're doing it as well. They did it on the internet. They did it to shut down their political opposition on the internet using social media censorship. And it's not just limited to that. They said the demonetization and deplatforming included PayPal, Facebook, and others. Yeah, I guess I get I'm the Rodney Dangerfield of censorship. I get no respect. We had that rodeo a long time ago. But I think it is notable and disgusting that this is being done by foreign governments. It's one of the things that really, you know, irks me about Israeli influence is that they are so focused on censorship and deleting free speech. It is one of the most reprehensible things I think they could do. So we have to protect Vladimir. This is a leaked call showing European leaders. Looters is right. I'm sorry, they're not leaders, they're looters. Conspiring against the Trump peace plan. You know, by no means can we allow there to be any peace. We got to protect Vladimir Zelensky. And
the Ukrainian people, but we got to protect Vladimir.
Yeah, yeah, because this is not, they don't care at all about the Ukrainian people. I mean, that's, you know, they're nothing to them. They're cannon fodder. Not at all do they care about protecting them for anything. And so, yeah, we have to protect him, and we got to keep this war going, and we got to escalate this war, because people are starting to figure out what we're trying to do to them, and we've got to, you know, the war is what they're going to use to distract people and also to rebuild the people following them. And when we look at Ursula von der Leyen, who I call Ursula Fond of Lying, there is now a corruption scandal with her. There's been several corruption scandals with her. We got to protect Ursula as well, I guess. All these criminals join cause together. She had a lot of charges against her in terms of what was happening with COVID and the vaccines and Pfizer and things like that, memos that she had with these. And so in this particular case, I'm not sure which one of these scandals really matters the most to them, or if any of them do, but they will close ranks to protect their own, because they are all involved in this type of thing. Well, speaking of protecting Vladimir, perhaps we should get him some t-shirts. We'll be right back.
Hello, it's me, Volodymyr Zelensky. I'm so tired of wearing these same t-shirts everywhere for years. You'd think with all the billions I've skimmed off America, I could dress better. And I could, if only David Knight would send me one of his beautiful gray MacGuffin hoodies or a new black t-shirt with the MacGuffin logo in blue. But he told me to get lost. Maybe one of you American suckers can buy me some at thedavidknightshow.com. You should be able to buy me several hundred. Those amazing sand-colored microphone hoodies are so beautiful. I'd wear something other than green military cosplay to my various galas and social events. If you want to save on shipping, just put it in the next package of bombs and missiles coming from the USA.
Thank you. listening to The David Knight Show.
APS Radio delivers multiple channels of music right to your mobile device. Get the APS Radio app today and listen wherever you go.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at Compassion.com. That's Compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption.
Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, we were just talking about censorship, and Germany is acting like actual Nazis to fight a non-Nazi. This is from Anthony Frieda, who I interviewed not too long ago. And he used to do the covers for Gerald Celente's Trends Journal. And Anthony Frieda did the cover for a book for C.J. Hopkins that was about the COVID fraud. And Germany doesn't like that being put out there. And basically, what pull up the this cover if you can, Lance, if you've got it.
What article?
This is actually, I don't know if I put that in as an article. It might have been 2 days ago, but it was about Germany, I think, was the title for it. But The Rise of the New Normal Reich, and it has a big face mask from the COVID fraud that's there. And Anthony Frieda did that, and so this is C.J. Hopkins, and he calls it the Consent Factory Essays, Volume 3. This is for 2020 through 2021, so it focused on the new normal Nazi approach. And so they said, well, you can't talk about the Reich, you know, and especially calling us the Nazis, which is what he did. So they came after him and showed that he was right. Their armed Berlin police officers, writes Anthony Frieda, arrived at the door of author C.J. Hopkins this morning, and that was November the 26th, with a warrant to search his apartment. They conducted the search, interrogated him and his wife, and they confiscated his computer. It is a new criminal investigation of C.J., and it's been going on for quite some time, but this is a new level by the Berlin State Prosecutor. Once again, as in 2023, he is accused of disseminating pro-Nazi material. The pro-Nazi material in question being his book, The Rise of the New Normal, Reich. Consent Factory Essays, as I pointed out. And again, it's a mask there. You can see it. Thank you for pulling that up. That's good thinking. You got it on Amazon. It is available on Amazon. And I'm sure it's excellent because C.J. Hopkins is an excellent writer. And he's really been in this fight. He's living, unfortunately, in Germany. And where there still are living Nazis and people acting like it. It's not a hyperbole. So it's not at all pro-Nazi. It criticizes this kind of Nazi approach being done by these neo-Nazis. He said, and Anthony Frieda sent this to me, he said, I designed the cover art, the posting of which prompted the previous charges about him, which are based on two tweets featuring the cover of the book and opposing the so-called COVID measures. This new criminal investigation is based on the publication of the book. So the previously they came after him for the cover that Anthony Frieda did and for tweeting the picture of the cover. Now they're coming after him for the publication and the distribution of the book. And, of course, you can also see this article and keep up with this on Anthony's Substack. It's anthonyfrieda.substack.com, and he spells his last name F-R-E-D-A. He says, according to Racket News, if you look to Germany, the strongest economic power in the European Union, it's easy to see where America is going. I'd say you could see it in the UK as well. It has about 330 organizations working with federal and state levels of government to suppress speech. And they have about 425 grants for that, mostly from the government. And, of course, we even get grants from foreign governments to suppress speech. That's what the Israelis do for us. They fund this work according to research from Libernet, a free speech group that tracks censorship. The most high-profile cases of German censorship, at least in America, have been raids of people who authorities determined had engaged in, quote, digital violence for offenses that include insulting someone. So this is speech as violence, and digital speech is digital violence, right? Insane. Prosecutors and police largely depend on a system of government-certified and government-funded flaggers. We used to call them snitchers, right? And this is, unfortunately, when Germany reunified, they brought in the Stasi values from East Germany, apparently. These incidents, and understandably, get the attention, and the censorship apparatus is much more deeply ingrained in German society. Germany is the most important country doing this type of content control work in the entirety of the EU. Well, that's only because the UK is not technically in the EU. But I think it'd be hard-pressed to see who is worse, the UK or Germany, in terms of censorship. I would argue that it has a significant influence on the EU. And again, this is the statement of Racket News writing that. But I would agree with them. There's not really any light at all, however, between civil society and the government. In other words, these people are fully on board with what the government is doing. And I guess maybe that's the difference between Germany and the UK, is that there is more support for this in Germany than there is in the UK. It's the leadership in the UK that's pushing this. But the grassroots people have not bought into it like they have in Germany. There is a constant atmosphere of intimidation, said a former mayor of Dusseldorf, who is now a member of the European Parliament. People are afraid to speak their mind. The people always have to find some sort of way of expressing their mind in a politically correct way that has created a narrow space for discourse. And I think that is really threatening our democracy. And, of course, that's one of the reasons why you have so many pieces of satire in the past. This is something that's always been in the nature of man, in the nature of government. People always want to shut up somebody that they disagree with strongly. And government is usually the tool that they use for that. So you have different things like Gulliver's Travel, which was, you know, a satire of what the government was doing. And he had to put it in the form of a story to get it through the without being punished for it. The war on speech is the most dangerous of all wars being waged against humanity. And I really do agree with that. I think that's why I support this idea that you don't censor people in the public square. I think freedom of speech, just like freedom of religion, is one of the most fundamental, if not the most fundamental, of our human rights. Because freedom of speech and freedom of religion cannot really be separated from each other, right? You can't talk about it. Then they can zip you up on that. And that's why it bothers me so much that we have these Zionist politicians in the United States that have been bought by a foreign government that are pushing through these censorship things, like you see Randy Fine in Florida, coming in and making it a hate crime, and the Republicans being fully on board with that. So Trump is eager to punish the enemies of these foreign governments as well, and he's also eager to punish his own enemies. Look at how Trump hates free speech. He has gone and after and multiple times he has threatened reporters and news organizations with lawsuits. We talk about lawfare. I mean, he is Mr. Lawfare. Not only is he going after his former opponents who unjustly came after him, but he wants to shut down or shake down for millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, the people who report negatively on him. And that is our heritage and our right as human beings to say that. So they want us to live in fear. They want us to censor ourselves. And that's what this is all truly about. So again, Anthony Frieda, and you can find him on Substack. His last name is F-R-E-D-A. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back, folks.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweets coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Well, there is a very important anniversary coming up, the five-year anniversary of the experimental COVID shots Reign of Terror. That's the headline from Brian Shalhavi at Health Impact News. The mass murderers, however, are still unpunished. It is a day that should live in infamy. We still remember December the 7th at Pearl Harbor. Now we got a new date to remember, which is December the 11th. The day that Donald Trump forced the FDA to approve the experimental Pfizer vaccine, quote unquote.
And look, I guess in a certain way, I'm the father of the vaccine because I was the one that pushed it. I pushed the FDA like they have never been pushed before. I wouldn't exactly say they're in love with me.
The vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind.
All of the countries of the world who are now getting the vaccine or soon will be getting it.
Yeah, and if you think that if you think that he's going to allow somebody that he appointed like RFK Jr., even if RFK Jr. wants to do it, think that he's going to allow him to stop this vaccine, I got a bridge I could sell you in Brooklyn. The day literally terrorized me emotionally, says Brian Shalhavi. And we all went through this to one degree or the other. He said, I saw it coming, and during the time, I spent most of my waking hours writing and publishing videos trying to warn as many people as possible about just how deadly these experimental shots were, trying to save as many people as possible. And again, this is, when you look at what happened from March all the way through to the end of the Trump term, how this stuff was going, and, Brian Chalhavi was doing that, I was doing that. We could see this stuff, we knew where it was going, and we knew what the plan was, and it was such an obvious fraud. You didn't have to wait to do the medical science. You didn't have to wait to do the test. You could see that they had practiced and rehearsed this for two decades. They had started rehearsing this just before they did 9/11. They were all tied together. This was the other shoe to drop. And this was all about setting up a permission-based society, setting up, moving the Overton window to get people to accept ID papers and ID numbers and to make them accustomed to these kinds of arbitrary violations, as well as martial law. You think about all the different precedents that were put in there. And then the fact that December 11th, you had about a week before Alex fired me for pushing back against this stuff, they were in the midst of telling everybody they should be voting for Trump. And, we should go to war to keep Trump in the White House. It's like, I would go to war to get that guy out. And Biden as well. But no, we're going to keep them in. So I said, next week will mark the five-year anniversary of the FDA approving the so-called vaccine, the Trump shot, warp speed thing, December the 11th. During the past 5 years, he said, there have been 1.6 million cases filed with VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Events Recording System. Actually, the exact number that he has here is 1,670,564. So let's not forget the 70,564 additional over the 1.6 million. There have been 38,876 deaths reported following the COVID shots. 74,164 permanent disabilities. This is not something that anybody ever got over. It's just a fraction of what the real numbers are because we all know. And the government has admitted, Harvard did the study, the government has admitted it, that fewer than 1% of the things that were reported on VAERS, of the actual events were reported on VAERS. And that was before COVID. And with COVID, they were actively threatening and harassing people to not report it. That never happened before. And so this would be even less than 1% of what we're looking at here. He said, and of course, what we saw happening right away after these vaccines rolled out, we were saying, look at this. We've had enough, as many of these VAERS reports as they've had for the last 5 years of all vaccines or whatever. And then it became 10 years and 20 years and so forth. And this is more than they've ever had of all vaccine adverse events reported for the entire time that they've had this up for 30 some odd years. He said, since the database was established 35 years ago, all other FDA-approved vaccines have had 1,025,000 cases filled of injuries and deaths following all non-COVID vaccines combined for the past 35 years. 23,000 deaths reported, 23,000 permanent disabilities. So this is more than three times the permanent disabilities. And it is probably, I guess, what do we got, about another... It's about 150%, 1.5 times the number of deaths that they had from everything else combined for 35 years. In addition to all this, there are nearly 4,000 fetal deaths following COVID vaccination. And here we have people who have the audacity to call Donald Trump great for pro-life. When I hear a Christian leader say that, that's the end of their credibility with me. They're either beyond ignorant or they're corrupt, telling people what Trump wants them to tell them. There used to be many more than the current number. They've obviously removed quite a few of these from the database already. And it's also been verified in terms of if you look at the massive increase in excess deaths. In other words, how many more people died than would be typical and that have been typical? They know that because of the insurance actuarials and so forth over many, many decades. And you saw that massive spike when the vaccine rolled out worldwide. You saw it in all the different countries. So this is not just people aware of the vaccine adverse events reporting system using it. No, this is a reflection of the reality. As many standards of deviations away from the mean for the insurance companies, and they've said that, and then they blamed it on unvaccinated people dying from COVID and saying it was something else. The absurd lies that they will tell, it's exactly what we're seeing now with this Venezuelan thing. These people will tell you the most absurd lies, and they'll keep saying it. You know, and that is, in and of itself, is something that the Nazis realized, you know, the big lie. Keep telling the big lie, tell it in a big way, and keep telling it, and you'll get people to believe it. Deaths and injuries to children between the ages of 5 and 11 after receiving the COVID shot increased by 1,000%. He said, in March of 2022, I published a prayer that I prayed, and in a conversation with Jesus that I had, when I seriously thought about giving up the stress because it just seemed too much for me. He said, I was embarrassed to publish it, and I almost didn't. But I feared disobeying my Lord more as I knew that he led me to do it. And he said, I know for a fact that it blessed many people, helping them to cope with what was happening as well. He said, this is what I wrote in March of 2022. He said, prayers and tears are what have kept me up, kept me sane all of these years. When we pray and we pour out our heart before God, it is very important to then stop and listen to what he has to say. The words will come into your mind, and you should write them down in a prayer journal. That's what I did here. And this is the first time I've ever shared anything like this with the public. Pour out your heart. He said, let your anger and frustration to the one who can actually do something about it, not to politicians. And then just be still and listen, and you'll be shocked at what you hear. He might want to change you instead of the circumstances that you're asking him to change. Think about that. He might want to change you through what you're going through rather than relieving you of these difficult circumstances. He said, I didn't want to publish this. I feel embarrassed, but the Holy Spirit made me so uncomfortable the more I delayed that finally I was more uncomfortable not publishing it. He said, so here we are, 5 years later, a nation suffering from Trump's COVID vaccine. And still, we have most of the people who know how evil this is. That's the most amazing thing to me. You know, you would think that it'd be the left who are scared to death of this, still running around, many of them wearing masks. You would think that they would, you know, they'd be okay with all this stuff and they wouldn't, they're okay with it. So you could understand them supporting Trump. I can't understand the people who know this was a poison, who still support this guy, who's bragged about it, and who has made it an issue. His very first thing that he did when he came back into the White House was he brought in people to combine mRNA with artificial intelligence and to use his billionaire friend, Larry Ellison, to tell us that that's what they had planned for us. Isn't that amazing?
All he surrounds himself with is this exact same type of person as well. There are other millionaires or billionaires deeply invested in the tech sector, and he wants to pretend to be the blue-collar billionaire. Oh, he's just like the rest of us, and people buy into it.
Yeah, he's got this.
How can you look at this man with his ostentatious golden penthouses, the people he surrounds himself with, desperate to take your jobs and give them to robots, and think, he's on my side? He's doing this for me.
To help and to subsidize people like Albert Bourla as he promotes them, does a joint venture with him, puts out mRNA plus artificial intelligence, and people still will defend this guy? I just don't understand it. But he says, step out of the delusion that politics and politicians can solve this and come to Jesus for real healing. That's the issue.
Mm-hmm. Politics.
It's just
even
amazing.
If we were to solve every single issue, were we to make America the freest country on the planet, if you are a slave to sin, you are not free.
Yes.
That's what matters the most.
Yes.
Your physical freedom is so much less important than your spiritual freedom.
And Brian has got a couple of links to former articles that he had. Funeral embalmer says 85% of the dead bodies now have strange blood clots since the vaccine rollout. Another one, video emerges where Fauci and others plan for a universal mRNA flu vaccine, which became the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine. So, because people were not afraid enough of the flu. So let's get them afraid of some imaginary thing. Think about it. The last thing he did was to give, I'll say it again, a medal. It's, okay, it's a commemoration, right? Commendation, presidential commendation. I say a medal because that's essentially what it is. He gave him an honorary award. Trump gave Fauci an honorary award as the last thing he did in office. And the first thing he does in office is he has his billionaire friend, Larry Ellison, tell you how they're going to custom make, using AI and your genetics, they're going to custom make an mRNA poison. It's just, I'm done with this guy. But I've got to stop because we've got a guest coming up, Matt Trujillo. And I really want to talk to Matt. He's got a limited amount of time. So I'm going to cut this short, and we're going to do a very short break here so I can get in contact with him. And we will be right back.
This is The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is the
you'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com. Whether you're feeling like the blues or bluegrass, APS Radio has you covered. Check out a wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
All right, welcome back. And joining us now is Matt Trujillo. He's a pastor out of Wisconsin, I believe it is. Is that right, Matt? I think that's right.
It is, yeah.
And I really appreciate what Matt has done. And he's done a great job in terms of making the point. He's got a book, a very well-selling book, and it's a very quick read, and it's really packed with information. Not that it's difficult to understand. It's not dense in that sense, but it is dense in terms of the richness that it conveys in a very small book that's easy to read. And he talks about it from a Christian perspective and even from a historical perspective. Even pagan Romans understood what we no longer understand in this country. And that is that there are higher moral laws. And we've had this discussion recently about should you follow illegal orders? I don't know why that's a controversy, but the fact that it is a controversy shows just how much we need this book from Matt. It's called The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate, and how do we control that when we have the people at the top that have gone bad? And you can find that at, is it defytyrants.com? Is that the website, Matt? I'm just going from memory here. I should have it in front of me. Okay, defytyrants.com. And so I would highly recommend that you get that book and read it. It's a small paperback. It's a great handout to law enforcement and other people, and that's the way Matt has used it. But I've had him on several times, and Ryan with For the Love of the Road sent us an email and said, you know, I've seen Matt on many times, and then I looked up his background, and he said, I think it might be interesting if he gave us his testimony. Matt, you said you're willing to do that. Let us know how did you become a pastor? What was life like for you before you became a pastor?
Yeah, let me begin by saying I have a website where I wrote out my testimony, what Christ did in my life. I was 17 years old, nearly 18, when it all transpired. But I go into my life early on, and the website is howjesuschangedmylife.com. And I got that website probably 6 years ago. You would have thought that URL would have already been taken, but it wasn't. And so I got it for $2.99, howjesuschangedmylife.com. Wow. And also Pacific Garden Mission has a show called Unshackled.
Mm-hmm.
It's on in over 50 countries around the world. And they also did a radio dramatization of my conversion to Christ.
Wow.
And I also have the testimony of my mom. I did a short sermon about my mom. She was the first one in our family to come to Christ. And that's also at that website, howjesuschangedmylife.com. Wow. So I grew up in the city of Detroit, Michigan. I was born in 1960. And while I was living there, a transformation was taking place in the neighborhood. Busing started in 1973, I think it was, and there was all kinds of racial tension within the city, and where I grew up, I was a minority.
Mm-hmm.
So very different. I live in a country that the macroculture, I'm in the majority, but where I lived, I was in the minority. So what ended up happening was, as a young man, I got involved in drugs, and I never saw the reason to buy drugs when you could sell them and make a lot more money. So at the age of 15, I began to deal drugs and then had all of the free drugs you wanted on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got involved more with the bad crowd, you know, stealing cars, robbing people, fighting other gangs, burning down buildings. These were all things that were part of my life. My dad had left when I was 11 years old on Christmas Eve. He left my mom, and that had a huge transformation in life at our house. And so I can't emphasize strongly enough how important it is for men to be in the home, for there to be fathers in the home. It has a huge impact. All the studies that have been done, David, show the negative impact upon sons and daughters when the man is no longer in the home. And unfortunately, by the time your average American turns 18 in America, more than half of them aren't living with their biological mother and their biological father.
Wow.
That's how broken down family is in America.
Yes.
Imprisonment, drug use, crime, all this type of stuff becomes far more prevalent in young men when there isn't a father in the home. And as I said, every statistic proves that. It was true in my life. And so I was living that life, and all of a sudden my mom threw me out of the house when I was 14 for dealing dope. And I went to live with my dad. He still lived in Detroit also, and didn't have anywhere else to go. And he let me stay there for 6 months. And then after 6 months, he threw me out of his house. So I wasn't doing good there. And so I decided I'm going to go back and see if my mom will take me in. And I remember we hadn't seen each other during that 6 months while I lived with my dad. And I remember standing outside her home. And I was just a punk, you know. And I was thinking, man, I got to go in here and put up with her mouth and all this. And I didn't really want to knock on the door, but I didn't have anywhere else to go. I'm 15 now. And so I finally walked up and I knocked on the door and my mom opened it. And she actually smiled when she saw me and was so surprised. She said, Matt, come on in. I got to tell you what happened to me. And I was like, wow, okay. So I came in, I sat down on the couch, and she starts sharing with me how Jesus has come into her life, forgiven of her of all her sins, how she's flushed all her pills down the toilet, and she's a new creature in Christ. And I sat there and looked at my mom, and I was like, I knew something. This was not the same woman I knew 6 months earlier. Something dramatic had definitely taken place in her life. Understand, my mom was always on psych drugs after the divorce, you know, 4 years earlier. It was such a huge impact on her, David, that she had a nervous breakdown and ended up in a psych ward for 4 months. Our grandparents actually came over and took care of us at the house while she was in the hospital.
Wow.
And she tried all kinds of things after that to find peace.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
To find happiness, she tried Silva mind control. She tried men, you know, tried everything that the world tells you to find fulfillment in and peace and those types of things, and never. And so she was on these psych drugs to control her mood swings. Well, lo and behold, after I had left, she found out that my godmother, I was raised Catholic, my godmother, who was an alcoholic and had ruined her life, was put into a mental hospital. Three women came in, prayed over her, and God restored her mind, and she submitted her life to Christ and was radically transformed. Wow. So this news is all going around in the family that Vale, that was the name of my godmother, has radically changed her life, and she isn't drinking anymore, and she's out of the mental hospital. So my mom calls her up and wants to meet with her because my mom's life is all messed up. So whatever happened to you, I want that to happen to me.
Yeah.
And my mom told me as I sat there on the couch that Val came over and they met at the dining room table, and she asked her point blank. She said, how did you change? Who's your counselor? Because my mom was always going to this counselor and another counselor and another counselor. And my godmother didn't want to tell my mom that it was Jesus who changed her life, because she had been telling everybody that since she got out of the mental hospital. And they were all like, okay, you know, or, well, that's good for you. You needed that, you know, and things like that. So she didn't want to tell my mom because of the negative response and kind of mocking response she had gotten from various people. But my mom kept begging her and saying, who's your counselor? Come on, seriously, who's your counselor? And finally, she just looked at my mom and said, there is no counselor in human form, Annie.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ has radically transformed my life. Wow. And he's healed me. He's forgiven me of my sins. Radically transformed my life. And my mom said, she sat there and she was just like, I looked at her and I said, you're joking. My godmother said, I'm not joking. And so she took my mom, you know, I don't know if you remember back then, David, there was a huge revival taking place. A lot of Roman Catholics were being converted to Christ. And there was the Catholic Charismatic movement. Mm-hmm. She took my mom to that. And my mom was totally turned off by it. But she went back a second time, and she was completely transformed by the power of God. Yeah. And had become a new Christian, flushed all her pills down the toilet, and was beginning this walk with the Lord. So she was the first one in our family to come to Christ. And when I sat there and I listened to all this from her, and she let me come back in her home, lo and behold, she gave me a book to read. She said, I want you to read this book. It's called The Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson, who, of course, was the man who started Teen Challenge, which is an international organization meant to help young people who were caught up in gangs and drugs.
Yes.
And he was a country preacher from Pennsylvania. God called him to New York City, and he went and preached amongst the gangs. Nicky Cruz was his first convert. Huge transformation. So I started reading this book, right? The Cross and the Switchblade. First 40, 50 pages, a lot of gang stuff. Okay, that holds my interest. Then more of this Jesus stuff kept coming in, and I was just like, nah. So I threw the book aside after 40, 50 pages. So now another 2.5 years go by. Matt Chuella keeps living in rebellion to God. My life keeps going down like this. Mm-hmm. And I could tell you 100 stories, and I have some of them in that at the website where I share my story, howjesuschangedmylife.com. But lo and behold, I ended up getting arrested for arson. And I got put into the county jail because they decided, even though I was a minor, 17 years old, they were going to try me as an adult because of the seriousness of the crime. Mm-hmm. And so I went in, and over the weekend, I got stuck in a holding cell with two black guys. One was 40-something. He was in there for child molesting. The other guy was 19. He was in there for armed robbery. I was 17. All three of us know a little bit about God. The old guy was raised in a Christian home. The young guy, his dad was actually a deacon in a Baptist church. And of course, my mom had come to know Christ. If I could ever replay those videos, like when we get to heaven, David, I'd love to see three dumb pagans talking about God. And I don't know where they were at, but I had a serious interest. I saw my life was in utter ruin. And so lo and behold, I spent those 2 days with them talking about, we all talked about God almost kinda, the whole time.
Kind of reminds me, Matt, you know, we're talking about, kind of reminds me of the story about, you know, a blind man, and you send him next to an elephant, and he's like feeling around and trying to describe what this thing is that he's never seen before.
Yeah.
It's got this really little trunk. But yeah, that's kind of what it was like, I guess. So the elephant in the room,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. The elephant in the room was Christ.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry. So I was going through withdrawal. I was all messed up on drugs. Mm. And we happened to be right where they had service. We couldn't go to it. There was a guy in a suit who came by, and the one guy asked him for something to read. Of course, he brought us all Bibles. When I read the Bible, David, I didn't feel any pain or suffering from the withdrawal I was going through. When I set the Bible down, after a half hour, I'd start feeling all the illness and sickness again.
Wow.
And so finally, on Monday, I get taken to the cell block. There's nine guys to each cell. And I walk in, and this guy walks up to me, and he says, "We have two rules in this cell. There's no fights. And if you start a fight, number two, if you start a fight, we all jump on you." And I looked around the room, and I was the smallest guy there, and I looked at him, and I said, I like these rules. And he showed me where my bunk was. So I went and climbed up on it, and there's a cement wall with a metal shelf on it. And there's one book sitting on it, and it was The Cross and the Switchblade by David Wilkerson. So here, 2.5 years have gone by, and I picked that book up. I spent the next 3 days finishing the book, reading it. I had just put it down 2 minutes earlier, and my probation officer comes in. She takes me out in this side room to meet with me. She goes, "Yeah, this is the sentence you're looking at, and we're going to try to get you into a live-in drug rehab program for a year to begin with,
mm-hmm.
you off all these drugs." And she goes, "The program that we're looking to get you into is called Teen Challenge."
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweets coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So I had just put the book down that was the story about how this organization started.
Yeah.
And now here's this lady, my probation officer, saying, "We're going to try to get you a teen challenge."
Wow.
And that's exactly what happened. I ended up in teen challenge. The courts put me there. I was sentenced to 3 years. I had to spend the first year in a drug rehab program. Move over here because the sun's moving. So I went to church the first Sunday after I was taken there. And it was an Assembly of God church called Brightmoor Tabernacle on the west side of Detroit. So when I walked in, there's probably 1,000 people there. And people are walking up to me saying how glad they are to see me. And I could tell they actually were glad to see me. It wasn't like they were glad to see me just because I had a joint to smoke or something like that.
Yeah.
No, they were glad to see me because I was there. So then we walk into the sanctuary and everyone's talking, which for me was odd because being raised Catholic, it's like, pin drop. Nobody ever says anything and it's quiet. And I was looking around thinking these people all act like they're getting ready to see a movie or something. They're all talking. And then a lady came out and she sat down at the piano and started playing and people began to worship the Lord and they weren't mumbling under their breath like I was used to when I was a kid at the Catholic Church. They were actually worshiping him with their heart. You could tell they really believe in him. they love him. Mm-hmm. And it was astounding. And during the first worship song, as they're worshiping, all of a sudden I began to feel odd inside, David, and I thought like I was going to cry. Mm. I didn't want anyone to see that. So I sat down in my pew and I put my face into my hands. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in my life, I sat there and I felt really bad for all the sins I had committed, all the bad things I had done. And what it was the Holy Spirit convicting me of my sin, showing me that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, namely Jesus Christ. And so while I'm being convicted of my sin, at the exact same time, I'm tasting his love and his holiness. And I'm astounded. God actually loves me. I didn't even love myself. I didn't even think my mother loved me. God loves me.
Yeah.
I remember that being the overriding thing. I sat in that pew with my face in my hands for an hour and a half and wept the entire time.
Wow.
I remember I looked up one time and people were just staring at me like, are you okay? And at the end, they had an altar call and they invited people to come up if they wanted to give their life to Christ. I didn't even go up. I already knew he had changed me, radically transformed me by the power of his Holy Spirit. Yeah. And so I decided at that time forward that I would live for him. And that's what's happened. And that was a long time ago. I'm 65 now. That was when I was 17.
Wow.
So yeah, Christ radically transformed my life.
Wow. That is a powerful testimony. You know, Matt, I've said for the longest time, you know, and when we see what's going on down in Venezuela, it's being justified with the war on drugs. And I've said for the longest time, you know, I have real issues with the government being involved in prohibition because, you know, it didn't work when they did it with alcohol, and alcohol was very harmful. I've said many times I would have supported that had I been back then because it was so harmful. It's like, yeah, let's try it. And they did it legally. They actually, you know, amended the Constitution so they had the authority to do that. Very different situation with the war on drugs. It was just, and I think they called it, I honestly think they called it the war on drugs because they didn't want to use the term prohibition because it had been such a failure in terms of corruption of government and due process and creating gangs and all the rest of this stuff. And I've said for the longest time, and I've interviewed people who are law enforcement against prohibition, and they said, this is not something you're going to solve with force, with law enforcement. And I've said, this is a spiritual issue. And I tell you, your testimony really underscores the fact that it is, the drug war is really a spiritual war. And it's not something that you're going to fix with the police and the military. The answer to that is our society turning to Christ. It's what happened to you. And, so that's really what we need to focus on. And we try to take these shortcuts and we look at this and we say, well, we got this big, powerful military and we got this big, powerful police force. And so we got this hammer. Where's a nail that we can use against this, you know? And so that's how we get into these situations. When the reality is that that's not the solution at all. All it does is give us other problems that we didn't have before. And it does nothing to fix. Here we are 54 years into the war on drugs. And it's only gotten worse. We've got more intense forms of these drugs as well. But that's an amazing testimony about the failure of our society and the power of Christ to really fix these things. Yes. That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And something along the lines of what you're talking about, to just affirm what you're saying is so true, is that in the 1970s, about the time I was in Teen Challenge, Detroit Teen Challenge, the Teen Challenge was actually brought under scrutiny by the federal government for fraudulent claims. Understand.
Really?
David. Oh, yeah.
This is when the government is running, the CIA is running drugs and all this stuff, so they come after Teen Challenge. Wow.
They go after Teen Challenge. And the average cure rate and a cure is a year after you're out of the program, you're still drug-free. Mm-hmm. For secular programs, the average cure rate is 3 to 4%.
Wow.
96 to 97% of men and women who go into those programs, are off drugs for 6 months, a year, whatever the length of the program is, within a year are back on drugs.
Mm.
Teen Challenge was claiming to have an 84% cure rate based on that same standard, 84%. So the federal government decides, oh, this is terrible. This gas has to be fraud. They had a commission that mm-hmm. took over. And so the commission was to investigate the fraud of Teen Challenge. The woman who headed up the commission was a black woman. I forget what state she was from. And she wrote a book after they were done with their investigation, which went on for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way they investigated was they actually met with these people who supposedly were changed. That was part of their investigation to determine whether they had an 84% cure rate. So after it was over, the federal commission determined that Teen Challenge actually was lying. They did not have an 84% cure rate. They had an 87% cure rate. And the woman who headed up the commission wrote a book called The Jesus Factor. And her whole book, and she ended up being one to Christ from interviewing all these men who were, you know, lives were ruined by drugs and now knew Jesus. She wrote a book called The Jesus Factor saying that is the why they have an 87% cure rate.
Wow.
So what you're saying is exactly true. The importance of us reaching out to people and sharing the gospel with people, pointing them to the Lord, talking to them about the things of God, because his word addresses every area of life.
That's right. That's
and
right.
So you can bring him into just about any discussion.
Well, and it really comes back to, and it really comes, look at all the different problems that we've got. You know, the homes that are split up, which is, you know, the beginning of your problems there, and drugs, we have violence, and we have shootings, and all the rest of the stuff. What is the answer to all this? Why is this all happening? Because we've had these things before. We've had access, probably even more so, to guns in the past. We had access to guns in schools. What is the difference? I really think it is the Jesus factor. That's really the issue. We've turned away from Christ.
Absolutely.
Our society is rotten at the foundation, and that's why everything is collapsing on us, and that is the solution. You know, you're talking about when you were talking about your relative, and you said your mom asked your relative, who's your counselor? And it made me think of the Messiah this time of year, you know?
Yep.
Wonderful counselor.
Amen. Amen. Out of Isaiah. Yep. Same thing.
Yep.
So, you know, I talk a lot about civil government matters because most churchmen don't. I wrote that book that you had mentioned earlier. And, but I tell everybody everywhere I speak and where I go, there's two things we need to do. We need to address our government from the Word of God. They need to be instructed in God's thinking regarding civil realm matters.
Yes.
And at the same time, we need to talk about Christ and point men to him. And so I have this little card that I always give out everywhere I go. It says, alone, arrested, in jail, I was living a life of emptiness, misery, robbery, arson, drugs, and hate. There had to be more to life than what I saw with my eyes, but what was it?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like to draw them in. And on the other side, it says, my name is Matt. This is my story. And I have a little QR code with the website, howjesuschangedmylife.com. And I get correspondence, David, from both unbelievers and believers who find the cards when I leave them around. And you never know how God's going to use that in people's life. And that's something we need to do. It's not an either or. It's not, oh, we either tell people about Jesus or we get involved in civil government things.
Yeah.
God's word speaks to every area of life.
That's right.
And so we need to talk about both things.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yep. Yeah. That's the thing, you know, when you have an amazing testimony like yours. I remember there was a young woman in a church once. People were talking about their testimony. She said, I just grew up in church. I don't have anything to say. And she said, but then I realized one day that, excuse me. I realized one day that God had saved me from all those things. He had saved me from them before I got into them.
Yeah.
So that's it, too. You know.
Amen.
That's been the case.
Exactly right.
That's been the case in America before. God saved us before we got into those things. But now we're in a situation as a culture where God can save us out of those things. And so that's why your testimony is so important. It really is. Again, the book is Lesser Magistrate. And you can find it at Defy Tyrants. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Things have gotten really rough with me after I've had my stroke. I have so much trouble controlling my emotions. We're going to take a quick break.
Thank you for having me on, David.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. DefyTyrants.com. We'll be right back.
It's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Thank you.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
I wish I had the Christmas Night album.
Hot dog!
You can get the Christmas Night album at thedavidknightshow.com for just $13.99. It's right in the second floor there, see?
What'd you wish, George?
Well, not just one wish, a whole hatful. First, I'm going to thedavidknightshow.com and purchase the Christmas Night album. Then I'm going to listen to Christmas classics, like... Are you going to throw a rock?
I want the Christmas Night album, too.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight?
Can't you come out tonight?
Can't you come out tonight?
David's Christmas Night album includes 21 instrumental Christmas melodies like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Silent Night, and is all new I'll Be Home for Christmas.
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it, pull it down.
I'll take it. Then what?
And then I'll buy you your own download of David Knight's Christmas Night album.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is to be.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
In this sense, it looks to me like they're trying to pin the blame on somebody else and not them. There's a very distinct statement was said on Sunday. Secretary Hegseth said he had no knowledge of this and it did not happen. It was fake news. It didn't happen. And then the next day from the podium of the White House, they're saying it did happen. So either he was lying to us on Sunday or he's incompetent and didn't know it had happened. Do we think there's any chance that on Sunday the Secretary of the Defense did not know there had been a second strike?
Yes, because that was a couple of days after the news had come out. He said, well, you know, refused to respond to the issues and that type of thing. So he would have had time to investigate it. Well, now we've had the admiral who gave the more direct order in this particular circumstances has now testified to Congress. And as I look at this, this has developed into a pattern that continually gets worse and worse. When this first began, the concern was, well, this is an illegal war. Then when you look at it on what they did, the boat was there, and again, even turning around and running away is no threat to them whatsoever. People said it was no threat because the boat turned around. So then it goes from an illegal war to a war crime. Then we find that the boat that was fleeing after they hit it, we find that the people, that there were survivors clinging to wreckage, and they continued to cling to the wreckage and try to get their boat righted up so they could get into it and save their lives because they're out in the middle of the ocean. And that went on for 41 minutes. They talked about what they should do with those guys. And so it went from illegal war to war crime to murder to, I think, premeditated murder. And it absolutely disgusts me to see how this is being spun now by Laura Loomer, by InfoWars, and by many other people. This is all just a coup to get Hegseth out. Are you kidding me? This is a coup. It's a coup against the Constitution and against any kind of decency and morality, not just the legality of this, but any kind of decency or morality. Let me just say that when you look at how this drug war has metastasized, and I think that they called it a drug war because they don't want to call it prohibition. If you call it prohibition, well, wait a minute. Didn't we have a constitutional amendment? Did we need that? Everybody in the country, whether they supported prohibition or not, realized that they needed to have a constitutional amendment, 18th Amendment. And so they also realized that it was the genesis of these organized crime gangs like Al Capone and others. And it was a total failure. The cops were corrupted. The courts were corrupted. The alcohol that was being used went up in strength. It went from beer and wine to hard liquor. You had forms of it that were being made, improvised, that were causing people to go blind. It was a failure in every regard. even though they tried to comply with the Constitution. So you don't want to call it prohibition. Let's call it a drug war. And this is not complying with the Constitution. Nixon's drug war was complying with what the UN wanted. They had already created the schedule of drugs that they wanted prohibited. And so when you start taking, as just as Matt was talking about, it's a spiritual issue. You're not going to solve this with force. But they decide they're going to solve it with force, the force of government. And they've gone from fighting it with police to militarizing the police to now using the police and the military as police and making it not just here in the United States, but global drug war. And yet it is our own government that had created crack cocaine so they could fund a secret war. It's our own government that in Afghanistan guarded the poppy fields and had the opioid production in Afghanistan go from less than 10% to over well over 90%, a bumper crop, a new record every year. Meanwhile, back home, we had an opioid epidemic that was going on. The hypocrisy and the failure and the criminality of this just continues to metastasize in so many different ways. This is just one more aspect of it. And now, the hope of this being some kind of a bipartisan revulsion of the depths at which we have sunk have now disappeared. After the admiral spoke, you had Republicans take one tact and Democrats take another. And, of course, the Democrats are telling the truth about the Republicans. The Republicans will tell you the truth about the Democrats. But they'll both lie to you about their own administration. And that's what the GOP is doing right now. So the two men were killed as they were floating, holding onto their capsized boat in a second strike against a suspected drug vessel. This is from CNN. They said they call this an exclusive. They were the first ones to report that there was no radio call for backup. And the fact that they were in the water for 41 minutes. So this was a deliberate and debated policy to kill them. We haven't had a deliberation or a debate about whether or not we should have a war with Venezuela. But they had a debate over the lives of these two men. And they decided that they would kill them. Said men that were killed in early September did not appear to have radio or other communication devices, said the top military official overseeing the strike, said this yesterday. And as far back as September, defense officials had been quietly pushing back on criticism that killing these two survivors amounted to a war crime, when there's no war, arguing, in fact, that they were legitimate targets because they appeared to be radioing for help or for backup. And yet now they have walked that lie back as well. And so they said if they had done that, if they were calling for reinforcements, then that could have theoretically allowed them to continue to traffic the drugs aboard their sinking ship. And this is...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only $10 and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
line that they're using, saying that they're trafficking fentanyl. That also was walked back. They're also saying cocaine now, and they're telling you the truth that it was cocaine. They're not telling you the truth in the sense that they say they eliminated the threat. There's no threat to America from these people, except for the threat that drugs in general pose on us. And this is the wrong approach to it. And I have to say that this is a seminal thing. This is like, folks, the COVID stuff in the sense that they're setting precedents. And I think that there is a real concern and should be a legitimate concern that the Trump administration is green lighting and expediting all of these different strands of the surveillance police state, bringing them together. If we can use the military, since it didn't work to militarize the police, the no-knock raids have not worked, stopping people on the road and confiscating their property, their cars, or going and confiscating their houses, never charging people the crime, never giving them any due process, none of that has stopped drug use, and it never will. They'll never stop it with police and military action. But because the police failed, we have to make the police more like the military. And since making the police more like the military hasn't worked, we got to make the military the police. And now we got to put the police in the city. Do you see what's coming next? If we got to put the police in the cities, you know, we're talking about crime. What is the essence of crime? Well, it's the black market that's been created by drug prohibition, just like with alcohol prohibition. Most of the crime that is taking place in Chicago and Washington and places like that that he's complaining about is related to the drug prohibition that is there. So the logical conclusion they're going to come to is that we need to use the military to do law enforcement in the cities because the drug war just isn't being won and it has to be fought like a war. You know where this is going. And this is why I have talked about this almost incessantly this week. It's not just a moral stench. We should understand how this is going to be used against each and every one of us. If they're going to confiscate property without having a due process or even accusing somebody of a crime, what do you think it's going to be like with the military? Are they going to be shooting us in the streets? Do you think that is an unwarranted extrapolation of where this is going to go? Well, just remember that Trump loved Roberto Duterte, the president of the Philippines, who did precisely that. They executed people on the streets of his own country on mere suspicion of having something to do with the drug trade. And he is now, because he's in a small country, unlike America, that will not allow that to happen to their criminals like Trump. Duterte, now no longer the head of the Philippines, is now at The Hague at the International Criminal Court because of those extrajudicial killings. And by the way, the number of people that he is accused of, even though there were thousands of people, tens of thousands, some say, that were executed under these rules of extrajudicial killings in the Philippines, he's actually being tried for a specific number of cases, and they've got 70 or 80 people there. Guess what? That's about how many people so far this illegal action in Venezuela has killed. It's just amazing. For a little over under an hour, for 41 minutes, the U.S. Military Command Center discussed what to do as they watched the men struggle to overturn what was left of their boat. Imagine the cold-bloodedness of this thing. This is why I call it premeditated murder. How can you sit there and watch somebody who you have just blown up? There was no threat to you, no threat to the country, none whatsoever. The threat to the country is the federal government and its war on drugs. That's the threat to the country. So you call them the threat because they're supplying what people want. Why do people want that? Well, because they don't have the Jesus factor, as that book pointed out, as Matt pointed out. That is missing. And so people want what is bad for them. And so you shoot the boat, you kill some of the people on the boat. The two survivors are fighting for their life, trying to get the boat over so they can get back to shore, whatever. And they debate what they're going to do for 41 minutes. And then they pull the trigger and kill them. It's not just an illegal war. It's not just a war crime. It's not just murder. It's premeditated murder. And these people who are capable of doing it to these people in other countries, you mean no more to them than these people in foreign countries. You're just in the way of their agenda.
If anything, they hate us more because we are here.
That's right.
We're a direct impediment to what they want to do.
If you want to get the people who are the threat to Americans in terms of drugs, go to the CIA. Go to that drug cartel. The people who created crack cocaine, the Pentagon people who use the proceeds from the crack cocaine to do their illegal war, those are the people who are the threat to this country. The people who get us into wars, the people who stay in Afghanistan for decades because they want to keep making drugs from there. They want to keep the opioid fields open. The Taliban went back in, and the Taliban has shut down the drug trade now. After just a couple of years, it's now back to under 10% of the world's trade because the Taliban moved in. Well, there was a point in time when Hegseth was a reporter back in 2011 where he had this to say about illegal orders.
I do think there have to be consequences for abject war crimes. If you're doing something that is just completely unlawful and ruthless, then there is a consequence for that. That's why the military said it won't follow unlawful orders from their commander-in-chief. There's a standard, there's an ethos, there's a belief that we are above what so many things that our enemies or others would do.
So, Senator, what do you think of that?
Well, Aaron, I think he's correct, and it's exactly what we said. But when we said it, Pete Hegseth now, 8 years later, or 9 years later, he says what we said was false and reckless. And
that's right. And when he was saying that, you were on the side that was doing the illegal orders. It's all just partisan politics. And so I understand people's disgust with all of this. But don't fall into that. You know, what was wrong in 2011 that Pete Hegseth was speaking out against? It's still wrong. And what Pete Hegseth is doing today is wrong. It doesn't make it right because the Democrats are calling it wrong. It's just people make these excuses back and forth. And so what happened to Pete? What happened to Pete that he's now doing the same type of thing? Power corrupts. It really does. You know, was he lying to you about it then? Did he really care? Maybe he didn't really care then. Maybe it was just partisan politics for him. Because I don't think it really matters to Mark Kelly. Mark Kelly has been involved in this, and Mark Kelly refused to say specifically what was illegal. I'm telling you what was illegal. I told you it was illegal from the very first of this. And yet these people put this thing together. They were playing partisan politics. They were playing their little psyop when they talked about illegal wars. And as I pointed out, Trump and Hegseth not only stepped in the dog do, they jumped up and down and it splattering it all over themselves. They fell into that trap. But I don't think that Kelly was sincere about it. I don't think the other senator, I keep forgetting her name, former CIA, I don't think she was serious about it either, because when they were asked point blank, so what is it? Now, have there been any illegal orders from Trump? Well, I can't think of any. This is just for future reference. No, it's just for partisan politics. They're not going to oppose the criminality of it because they want to be able to do that sort of thing when they get power. And that's what this complaint is about. It's about them getting the power so they can do exactly the same things. But we are the ones who are going to suffer from this. And we should oppose it when it's being done by the Democrats. And we should oppose it when it's being done by the Republicans.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So, the ultimately, Admiral Bradley told lawmakers he ordered a second strike to destroy the remains of the vessel, killing the two survivors on the grounds that it appeared that part of the vessel remained afloat because it still held cocaine. Wait a minute. What is all this about fentanyl? Well, we all knew that was a lie, right? Every one of these drug organizations that has been feasting at the trough to fight this imaginary war on drugs. Every one of them said, there's no fentanyl coming from Venezuela, it's cocaine. The survivors could hypothetically have floated to safety, could have been rescued, and could have carried on with trafficking the drugs, said the logic. Well, as I said before, this kind of logic means that you just go in and you carpet bomb Dresden, for example, right? Or you drop nuclear bombs on civilian populations in Japan. You don't fight the soldiers that are out there, and you don't fight the war under the Geneva Convention rules of engagement. No, you got to kill it at the source. You got to kill the entire country. No more mowing them down on the front lines. Let's just get them at the source. Let's just kill everybody, right? Which is what we see in Gaza. It's that kind of mentality. Going after civilians.
Mowing the lawn.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the other source of direct knowledge of the briefing called that rationale effing insane, right? And it is. It's nonsense. The Pentagon did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Well, why would that be? Well, that would be because the Pentagon doesn't want to talk to the press. The Pentagon does not want to be covered under Pete Hegseth. And that's why they got rid of all the reporters in the Pentagon as this stuff was ramping up, right? They got rid of all the reporters, and I said, you're going to report what we tell you and only what we tell you, right? And they said, no, we're not going to do that. All right, so you're out of here. And the only news organization that agreed to those ridiculous terms is News Nation. I don't know anything about News Nation. I think that was the one. It was some conservative startup. I would suggest that you not pay any attention to any of their news. I don't read them. I don't look at them. But I would suggest if they're going to prostitute themselves that way to the Pentagon, don't and the Trump administration, don't read anything that they have to say. I mean, that tells you right there that they are not in search of information. They're not in search of the truth. They just want access. And that is about the most naked exposure of prostitution I have seen from the press, the fact that they would stay there. And except when you get Laura Loomer, who is posting the fact she's got a Pentagon press pass, and she's the one who's out there floating the line that is being parroted by InfoWars, saying, oh, this is just a coup against Hegseth. They just don't like Hegseth. There's nothing really to see here. Move on. It's amazing. You want to say something, Travis?
Yeah, I was just going
to
say, it just seems like, you know, this is the Boot Lovers News Network.
Yeah.
Do you love the taste of boot? Well, so do we. You can tune in and get all the boot news you can stand.
Yeah, maybe they could, maybe they should sell boot polish as their new sponsor, right?
While I'm down here, would you like me to polish your boots, sir?
So that's why Hegseth got rid of it. That's why you've got Laura Loomer there. According to Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Tom Cotton, however, a Republican, and Democrat Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, who were briefed, the military used a total of 4 missiles to sink the boat. 2 missiles in the initial strike and 2 to kill 2 people. I wonder how much that cost, right? Let's not even look at the dollar figures that are there. It is considered a war crime to kill shipwrecked people. Not only that, but it is the example that they use in the military manual that we don't pay any attention to, right? The Constitution was our manual for how the government is supposed to operate. The military's got its own manuals, and nobody reads the manuals anymore. It's, that's the big complaint of people in software. It's like, you know, read the manual. You know, they have a RTFM, you know, and but nobody does that in government. They don't want to know what the manual says.
Well,
it's hilarious that they can't
pinpoint any illegal orders when they are doing the literal definition of a war crime. If you open up the dictionary, this is how it describes a war crime.
That's right. That's right.
Well, part of it is, you know, if you read the manual, you're knowingly committing a crime. But otherwise, you say, well, I didn't know. I didn't know. How could I have known?
Mm.
Come on, guys. Mm. I'm just a silly little guy. I've just made some mistakes.
That's right. Most Republicans have signaled support for Trump's broader military campaign in the Caribbean. But the secondary strike on September the 2nd has drawn bipartisan scrutiny. However, now they've made the rounds, and they've had the talking to, right? After Thursday's round robin of closed-door briefings by Bradley, this all appeared to fracture along party lines. So, of course, nothing is going to be done. Cotton said he, quote, saw two survivors trying to flip a boat loaded with drugs, bound for the U.S., lie, trying to flip it over so they could stay in the fight. They're trying to stay alive. Committee
Describing
chairman...
Describing this in any way as a fight is ridiculous. You've got guys with, maybe at best, assault rifles, that nebulous term, in a boat, and then you have your completely invisible from their perspective gunship that takes them out. This isn't a fight.
No, no. There's no way that they could. It is not a conflict when one side is shooting at the other side, when the other side is unarmed, when the other side is incapacitated. That is not a conflict. They're not a threat. Everybody knows that. Stop lying to us. I'm disgusted with these people.
It'd be like calling a fight, you know, Mike Tyson in his prime versus a toddler. Oh, it's a fight that he could pose some. The toddler might bite Mike Tyson.
This is like cops shooting people that they've got up against the wall to arrest. Instead of arresting them, they shoot them in the head. That's what this is really about. The committee chairman, a Democrat of the House Intelligence Committee, said any American who sees the video that I saw will see the U.S. military attacking shipwrecked sailors. Bad guys, but attacking shipwrecked sailors. Again, you got to say that they're bad. The drug stuff is bad, and it is bad, folks. But look, whenever he knows that people are going to come back and say, "I voted for this. I want the drug dealers executed." I always hear that whenever I talk about the evils of the drug war and what it is doing to our society and to our government, and how it's making our government into a criminal cartel itself. People always say, "Well, you're for the you're for drugs. You just want." Heroin out of vending machines, all this kind of stuff. It's like, no, I don't. But I also know that this is not the answer. Again, go back to what Matt told us about his life. It's the Jesus factor that is missing in our country.
And
that is why we have these problems.
Cover himself saying, yeah, they're bad guys, of course. Mm-hmm. But we don't know that. They are alleged bad guys.
That's right.
This is right for someone to do a parody of What Do You Do With a Drunken Sailor? So.
I don't know. You just shoot him, I guess, right?
Shoot him from the sky with an AC-130.
The apparent abandonment of defense officials claims a distress call as evidence of continued hostile intent is only the latest in a series of shifting accounts from the Trump administration since reports first emerged in the press over the weekend. You know, this is looking like Benghazi, isn't it? They keep changing the story. Hegseth has kept changing the story. It was reprehensible what Hillary Clinton did with Benghazi. And this is reprehensible. And this is what liars do. They keep changing the story. Every day it's another story. Hegseth initially railed against reporting about the second strike. He called it fabricated, inflammatory, and derogatory. And he said they were fake news. And that's what I began with Rand Paul saying, you know, well, why did he say it was fake? And now he's coming back and saying, I didn't do it. The other people did it, right? Caroline Lovett confirmed the second strike occurred and said that Bradley was the one who ordered it. Well, you know, it doesn't matter how flimsy, how false, how absurd the rationale is here. These partisan hacks in the press and in the GOP, we're going to hang on to this, just like those people are hanging on to the debris in the water. So now you got Laura Loomer there as the Pentagon press. It's her and one organization, I guess, that's allowed in the Pentagon because they are just propagandists. And again, this is all part of the coup to get Hegseth out, is it? Well, could it be that he's not only incompetent, but he's criminal? And when we're talking about coups, maybe we should talk to the CIA since they're the experts on coups and on illegal drugs. Well, that's all the time we've got to spend on this. There'll be more news about this, I'm sure, as we come back next week. This is a seminal event, folks. This is very, very important. It has a lot of tentacles and everything that the government wants to do, and it shows you the nature, the criminal nature of our government. Have a good weekend. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an Elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.